Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, April 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia is ending its indoor mask mandate. City health officials said Thursday night, abruptly reversing course just days after people in the city had to start wearing masks again. The Board of Health voted Thursday to rescind the mandate, according to the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, which released a statement that cited decreasing hospitalizations and a leveling of case counts. The mandate went into effect Monday. Philadelphia had ended.
It worked.
Yeah.
There you go.
Seriously.
This is amazing.
Whoa.
What a turnaround.
Philadelphia had ended its earlier indoor mask mandate on March 2nd. Philadelphia was the first major U.S. city to reinstate its indoor mask mandate, but faced fierce blowback as well as a legal effort to get the mandate thrown out. Few masks were worn at the Philadelphia 76ers home playoff game on Monday, even though they were required under the city rules. Most states and cities dropped their masking requirements in February and early March following new guidelines from the CDC that put less focus on case counts and more on hospital capacity, and said most Americans could safely take off their mask. The mask mandate in Philadelphia was lifted again as of this morning. Delaware County Council is declaring a health care crisis at Crozier Health, and they're reportedly planning even more closures at its hospitals. Crozier Health, the largest health care provider in Delaware County, threatened to shut ambulance service and end various mental health and substance abuse programs if it does not receive some $24 million in reimbursements within 90 days. It is the latest move by Prospect Medical Holdings out of Los Angeles, which bought Crozier Health in 2016. The health system owns Crozier, Chester Medical Center in Chester, Delaware County Memorial Hospital in Drexel Hill, Springfield Hospital in Springfield, and Taylor Hospital in Ridley Park. In a statement, the company says reimbursement levels from the county and municipalities are insufficient and that the decision we've made was difficult but necessary to ensure our health system will continue to provide care for patients we serve across Delaware County. The Pennsylvania Association of Staff, Nurses, and Allied Professionals condemns the closure of these vital services. On Wednesday night, Delaware County Council passed an ordinance that would require Crozier Health to give at least 180 days before it could shut down services. Back in February, they abruptly closed a hospice unit at Taylor Hospital. Crozier said the closure was due to declining admissions to inpatient hospice and challenges presented by the national nursing shortage. And in March, Crozier announced that it would shut down the intensive care and surgical units at Delaware County Memorial Hospital. Prospect Medical Holdings, a private equity firm, is in negotiations to sell Crozier Health to Christiana Care, a nonprofit entity out of Delaware.
Kathy, does this mean it'd be a good time for the Uberlance?
Uberlance.
Passengers at Philadelphia International Airport have dealt with plenty of travel headaches lately, especially when it comes to parking. Lots at the airport were at capacity last week, but as of last night, part of the economy lot has reopened. There are 1,850 spots now available.
Okay.
Used to be 7,000.
Yeah, baby steps, I guess. But yeah. I mean, it was gone.
So it was gone. There's nowhere to park.
Yeah. Wasn't there? There was construction taking place, or didn't they allocate a part of that to be used for something else? Or am I missing?
No.
You had to park in the garage.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So the chief revenue officer for the Philadelphia International Airport said, after going through one of the busiest travel weekends, they realized that they needed a little more parking at the airport.
You think?
Yeah.
The lot has been closed since the pandemic started in 2020. The 1,850 spots are now open, and a shuttle service will loop through every 7 minutes and take passengers to their terminals.
I do like having that economy parking, but riding that bus especially if you're running a few minutes behind and you're like, okay, can we go straight to the terminal and not pick up anybody else? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they never do they? They never listen.
Do you remember we were on one of those buses? It was not here, it was in another state. I forget where we were, and you left your bag on the bus. Remember? Do you remember this?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I think I've blocked it out.
Yeah. And it was like one of those, God damn it.
No, and how many buses are there running?
Exactly.
And how many bags are there on those buses? And, oh, my God.
It does take a weird route through the lot, too.
It does.
You think you're leaving the airport.
It doesn't seem linear.
No, it doesn't.
Where are we?
I think maybe it's alphabetical order, except that the letters are all hodgepodge.
They are.
It's a weird route that they take.
Yep.
Hey, and listen, we're not the only airport to do this. There are other airports that have closed their lots, and you just are, like, on your own to park. Like, you are to figure out how you're going to get to the airport.
Well, you were talking about them, and a lot of people will find places, and there are lots that will let you keep your car there, and then you, you know, run their own service over. But, yeah, how you could not see that you're probably going to need some parking.
So, I mean, come on.
Have any of you guys ever had to walk to the economy lot?
Absolutely.
I did once.
I felt like Steve Martin in Cars,
PlayStation, Automobiles. Same, yeah. It was not from the lot to the airport. It was from the airport back to the lot when I got home.
Yeah.
But it was weird.
I thought I was
going
to get killed.
I was terrified.
Yeah. Why did you have to walk?
The bus didn't come. You just waited for, I don't know, 45 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, because they come like every
same year, Preston.
Yeah, and it was a flight that got in at 12:30 in the morning or something like that, and it never showed up.
I was walking with like a group of people who just like gave up and like
the nomads.
Which one of us is going to die?
Right,
because it's not meant for pedestrians.
No.
Wow.
So, well, listen, like you said, baby steps. At least there are some spots now available.
I'll let you know. I'll be at the airport a little bit later on.
Okay. That's not how it goes.
I'll report live. Yeah.
All right, in sports this morning. The Flyers beat the Canadiens.
Stanley Cup, baby.
James Van Riemsdyk had two goals and an assist. Ivan Proporov had a goal and an assist, and the Flyers ended a six-game losing streak. Oscar Lindblom, Morgan Frost, and Travis Konecny had the Flyers' other goals, and Martin Jones made 31 saves. The Flyers are back home on Sunday and will host the Pittsburgh Penguins. The puck will drop at 4 o'clock. The Sixers will look to sweep the Toronto Raptors this weekend and win their first round series of the playoffs. Game 4 is in Toronto tomorrow afternoon. Tip-off will be at 2 o'clock. And the Phillies, who were off last night, are back home this weekend for a series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Ranger Suarez will get the start tonight at 7:05. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Man, we are full for today. We got a lot of things to take care of, and I love it when this happens. A lot of it has to do with giveaways to you, including $500 concert cash and tickets to the MMRBQ. We will do that twice during our program alone. Of course, we have a letter today, the Word of the Week prize, and we have a bunch of guests on the show. Joining us in our studio today will be comedian Steve Trevino, who's going to be at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. So that'll be in the 8 o'clock hour. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Cindy Williams, who played Shirley Feeney on Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
And loads of other things. She was in American Graffiti, and she was in
The Conversation. Tons of stuff.
Yeah, so she'll be joining us because she has got a show at the Bucks County Playhouse. It's called Me, Myself, and Shirley. It's a one-woman show, so it's kind of her story, which is cool.
How much fun was it when she came in with Didi Khan?
As a result, like, she was asking specifically to come on with us today. She didn't want to do any other press, but she's like, I really want to go do press.
Cindy will be in here in the 9 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk via Zoom to Mr. Gary Sinise.
Love him.
Talking about the Gary Sinise Foundation. He did something really cool. I read about it on the air for a New Jersey fire company, so we'll get some of the follow-up on that with him.
He's the very definition of walking the walk, man.
Totally.
He really steps up.
Yep. And on top of that, we have an announcement, and we're excited. We actually have somebody who's coming in studio to be a part of that announcement, but I'm going to save that information until we get to that announcement.
Yeah.
It's going to be close to 8 o'clock. Around Bizarre File time, and I think you'll be happy to hear the information that we have to share with you.
Yes.
In fact, I'm going to go ahead and get this out there now. Concerning one of the announcements we made earlier this week, the Preston and Steve side stage at the MMRBQ and our live band karaoke that is going to take place on this stage. Now, Froggy is going to be our really featured performer. They're going to play on the side stage, and that'll be in between the main sets that are going on the main stage. And we're also going to have Jackie Bam Bam spinning a set as a DJ style. Is going to be mixing some music. But during the live band karaoke, we are calling upon you to be our lead singer for the band Sidearm. We're going to have a few slots to fill. I'm not sure exactly how many. It might be 7, 8, 9, 10 of them. But nonetheless, you need to audition for it. So here is what you're going to do. We have a list of songs that you can choose from, and then you need to make a short video, post it on social media, use the hashtag MMRBQ, and we'll pick the ones we like. In fact, it says here we're going to choose 10 singers to perform on stage at the show, and each singer also gets a 4-pack of tickets to the MMRBQ.
Awesome.
So you and some friends get to go to the show. They get to see you perform. You get to watch the bands. You get up on the side stage and do your thing.
It's cool.
And the songs are, they're standards. Yeah. I mean, that's what Sidearm is. They're a band that knows pretty much everything. And there are songs to choose from, everything from Surrender from Cheap Trick to, you know, Tush from ZZ Top, Billy Idol, Rebel Yell. There's a whole lot of them. Songs from Poison and Duran Duran and Elvis Costello and U2. So there's a list that we have, and go to WMMR.com, and you can get that list, and then you can make your video, and we're going to find out who's it going to be.
Excellent.
Also, 10 of them. 10 of the singers will be chosen. So tell your friends who like to sing about this.
Yeah.
And get on it now.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, Press, I'm going to get this new Sad Bro started off right.
All right. There you go. That music means we have a case of Lover Boy to give away.
Oh! Nice.
It is a high-quality, low-calorie, zero-sugar, sparkling hard tea. So we'll take caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll set you up. You may remember it from the Bravo hit reality series Summer House. Enjoy Loverboy at Killian's Bar and Grill. Not the band, just the
right. Yeah. No, they dare to dream.
At 1549 Spring Garden Street in Philly, 215-263-WMMR. We have a lot to get to. We'll come back in a second, get into the entertainment report and a stupid question. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, stupid question time. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to join Brent Porsche for NASCAR, Dover Motor Speedway, and tickets in the suite, by the way.
Mm.
And the question I'll go with this morning, I like this one. I don't know why I was randomly thinking of this today, but the movie Airplane, the slapstick film.
It's great.
What was the name of the autopilot in that film? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right, in the movie Airplane. What was the name of the autopilot? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go through birthdays April 22nd to await your answer. It's the great Peter Frampton's birthday today.
Mm.
He is 72 years old. He's, you know, bailing on touring.
He's got a degenerative sort of thing, right? Not life-threatening.
Yeah, but yeah. It's just going to hamper his ability to play guitar. And Peter Frampton is a great guitarist. He is a tasty guitarist.
I got to see him once. He was lead guitar for David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, he's a wonderful musician.
So it was the fall of 1994. I had eaten mushrooms for the first time in my life. And I didn't plan on it. The guy asked me if he could borrow $25 so he could buy them. And I was
and
like,
shove
yeah.
mushrooms down your mouth.
Well, no. So I gave the dude $25. I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
Right.
And then he came back and gave me a half eighth of mushroom. So anyway. Long story short, I listened to this song.
That man was Peter Frampton.
I listened to this song probably 20 times in a row.
Yeah. I can see
especially
that.
The talk box part.
And that is why. And so I sat in what my friend called, it was the tomato chair. It was like a big, round 70s chair.
Okay.
And I sat there like a freaking pharaoh, like a king on the throne.
Yeah.
And people just would walk in, and I drank about 1,000 Kahlua and creams.
Oh, my God, ew.
Okay. Dude, Kathy, the sensation of the cream going down my throat, like, it was such a... And like at that time, I felt like I was like I could see the future. It was so bizarre.
Or Sinus University.
Happy birthday, Peter Pan.
Yeah, he's 72 today. Another big birthday, Jack Nicholson. Happy birthday, Jack. We were just talking about Jack. I forgot why.
His axe from The Shining.
Oh yeah, yesterday.
Yeah,
that's
it was
right.
Sold in auction, or will be sold in auction. They're expecting upwards of 50 grand for it.
Yep. So he is turning 85 years old today.
Pretty much retired. Yeah, not coming back.
Are you coming to my party?
Yeah, he's hung it up, and he every now and then you'll see a clickbait ad that's like, "What happened to Jack?" And it's a picture of him, you know, with his hair, which is always outrageous. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's like bozo level hair, man. and Jack can do whatever he wants to do.
It's his world.
Certainly earned it.
He's courtside fairly often still, right? He'll still take in the games, the Lakers games. Yeah.
Maybe he'll go with you. I don't know.
You have to ask me nicely.
But, yeah, that's his great passion.
That's
Lakers basketball. He loves it. And he can, you know, he sat there all those years. But what a great actor.
I love that audio of him, of Pierre, encountering him at Live Aid backstage.
Yeah. Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yep, absolutely.
I know you. You're Pierre Robert.
So happy birthday to Jack, and hope you have a great day.
No.
Oh, man, he's going to be more optimistic.
Jack,
half full glass, baby.
85. Ryan Stiles of the Drew Carey Show, and Whose Line Is It Anyway? He is 63 today.
Super talented.
Gentleman we just had on the show, John Waters, has his birthday. In fact, is his show, he was doing a special birthday show. That's what he was promoting.
I think that's,
it must be today. In Atlantic City.
Big show.
He is, of course, the guy behind Hairspray and Pink Flamingos and Cereal Mom and Crybaby and all that stuff. He is 76 today. Steve, it's Negan's birthday.
Negan. Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You got to love.
Yeah. It's his thing, man.
Steve's impression of Negan is a very physical thing.
You have
to see him because Negan, when his
legs walk into the room before he does.
He leans so far back and he does this almost
like
I have
top
no skeleton.
Over. Right. Like Jell-O.
Motion.
He's so good, though.
He's great.
In fact, he was so good that he made me stop watching The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because you hated him so much.
Yes.
You and I both could not get past the fact that they would do anything but murder his ass.
Yeah. After all the horrible things that he did.
His character was so charismatic that because listen, I don't know what the comic books did to him, but in the show, they're like, no, we got to keep him around.
People loved him. He was such a fan favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. But his character, his story arc, he has had a pretty major turnaround.
There's
only like a half of a season left. And so
he calls bingo at the retirement home.
Crazy, right?
That's a guy. I'd love to sit down with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, especially as the comedian and Watchmen.
Oh my God, good!
Another reprehensible character. But he is 56 today. It's Amber Heard's birthday today.
Oh wow!
I got a little bit of information concerning the trial with her and Johnny Depp as that continues. But there was poop in the bed. She is 36. Years old today. She'll be in the next Aquaman, right?
She's apparently working on the film. You know, Johnny Depp sort of has a Godfather moment, except it's not a horse's head. It's poop. And it's become the focal point of this whole trial.
She's 36. Then you have a great singer. Paul Carrack has his birthday today.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. So he was in Mike and the Mechanics and Squeeze, and he had a hit with the band Ace, that song How Long.
Yeah.
But it's Squeeze, Tempted. I mean, he's... What a great voice. What an amazing voice. And Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years.
If you don't cry.
You're made of stone if you don't cry when that song
knock it off
hits you. Yes.
You inhuman prick.
But what a great singer. Here you go. I bought a toothbrush. Love it. And he had a good solo song called Don't Shed a Tear.
Oh, I love that song.
Late 1980s, maybe early 90s. Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Man. It's no sad bro.
All right. Well, then, fine.
All right. Paul Carrack is...
I love you, Daddy!
Paul Carrack is 71.
That's a little happier, right?
Yeah, but that's
not him.
Yeah.
God damn it.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Is this Glenn Tilbrook?
It is, yes. Paul Carrack is 71. Machine Gun Kelly is 32 today.
So I just watched the Jackass Forever movie last night.
Yes.
And Machine Gun Kelly does one of the stunts in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Is he good?
He's okay.
He's not bad.
And, you know, like in the dirt, he was really good as Tommy Lee.
I agree.
So the guy's talented.
And then the last birthday, a buddy of ours, although he probably doesn't remember us because he doesn't remember anybody, admittedly so, Mickey Morandini of your Phillies. He's a great guy. He's a lot of fun.
You don't think he would remember us?
Because no, I know he remembers us. He said he is the worst at remembering names.
Okay. Right.
He's just the absolute worst, and sometimes even faces. Like, we were with him at spring training, and I saw him on the plane, and I walked right by him, and I was going to say something. I'm like,
Barsky?
But he's the best. He's the best. We love Mickey. Happy 56th birthday to him today. All right, we'll see if we can answer the stupid question. In the slapstick film Airplane, what was the name of the autopilot? We are going to go to Brian and see if he knows. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning. You rock.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. All right, the autopilot's name was?
Otto.
Yay! Autopilot. You got it. Hang on, Brian. Got to give you a pair of tickets in the suite to join Brent Porsche as NASCAR returns to Dover Motor Speedway May 1st with the Duramax Driting 400. And you can get tickets at DoverSpeedway.com. Let's start with the Johnny Depp stuff. Johnny Depp admitted in court yesterday that he believed in 2014 that Amber Heard was having an affair with her Adderall Diaries co-star James Franco. Heard's lawyers also accused the 58-year-old actor of him being in a, quote, blackout for portions of a private jet flight from Boston to L.A. that the couple fought over when they fought over Franco.
Wait, who was blacked out?
He.
Okay.
In fact, they brought that video back, Preston, of him in the kitchen freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, they did?
Yeah. So that's got to be, what, 2-3 years old?
Oh, at least.
Yeah, at least. Boy, yeah. So that was a big part of the court proceedings yesterday.
I was talking to my cousin, and she goes, I just want you to know I've made it my job. She goes, I am following this every step of the way.
Wow.
She's like, if you need any details, let me know. I'm okay, watching it all.
Well, then who is she sort of siding with and following on this one?
Well, I don't. We were just laughing because of the feces in the bed. She's right. Like, she blanked in the bed. Like, I don't know if she's picked a side case.
Other highlights of Thursday's testimony include the infamous text with Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
That had detailed Depp's plan for, quote, burning, drowning, and having sex with the burnt corpse of Heard. I think he was, you know, just...
So his attorney presented that, right?
Right, yes. He's probably not doing it.
See, he didn't do it.
The jury also heard footage of the alleged drunk Pirates of the Caribbean star cursing. Steve, that's what you're referring to.
Puffs.
Slamming the cupboards around, breaking other objects before he appears to throw Heard's phone.
They make the milk like chocolate milk.
For illegally recording him. But yeah, he was doing that. He's walking around slamming things. Now, it was also early in the morning. Remember, he's pouring a big bottle of wine.
Huge bottle of wine. He's dressed as some half-assed cowboy.
Who's
the cereal?
Yeah, so anyhow, that continues, and we'll have more for you. All right, other courtroom news. Kris Jenner testified Thursday that Blac Chyna once threatened to kill Kylie Jenner.
Woo.
According to an account of her testimony published by Page Six, the momager was alarmed years ago when Kylie and then-boyfriend Tyga told her about the threat.
And when you heard this, did this make you upset?
That's the lawyer?
Yeah. Caitlin's the lawyer.
Kris added that Tyga claimed on multiple occasions that Chyna tried to physically harm him with a knife. Chyna dated Tyga from 2011 to 2014. He then dated Kylie from 2014 to 17, while Chyna began a relationship with Rob Kardashian in 2016. It was so incestual. Oh, my God.
Like, they never leave their own block.
According to Chyna's previous testimony, she was still in a relationship with Tyga when he started dating Kylie in 2014. It was also revealed Thursday that Chyna hadn't paid her taxes in years. The reality star...
John, I'd like to take a brief recess. My balls are itching.
The reality star admitted on the stand that she hasn't filed taxes since 2018 or 19 and doesn't even have a personal bank account. She also testified she made about $2 million in 2020, 19, and 2018, with the majority of her income coming from OnlyFans.
So the IRS is going to be interested in hearing this. All of this stuff. How do you sit in a courtroom and look at all of the stuff, especially since we found out she pulled a gun on him?
Yeah.
All of the stuff that she's done. There's also the footage of her freaking out at the amusement park. Do you remember that, Preston?
No, I don't remember that.
She had one of the kids in the stroller or something like that and went nuts.
How do these people get the whole not paying taxes thing? They're going to get you.
Eventually.
Eventually, they're going to get you.
Who was the Survivor winner?
Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
Year one. Basically, the world watched him win.
Yes.
And he never declared the winnings.
Crazy. All right. Well, that keeps on going. There is congratulations to be had. Nicolas Cage and his wife, Riko Shibata, are expecting a baby girl. 58-year-old actor announced the big news on the Kelly Clarkson show on Thursday.
Wow.
He told the American Idol alum her name is going to be Lennon Augie. Augie after my father. And he was referring to his late father, August Coppola, who died.
By the way, I love when you do Kelly-Augie.
In 2009. Cage added that they'll call her Lenny for short. I assume Lennon is after John Lennon.
I would have to imagine.
That's a great idea for a name. I love that.
And it doesn't hurt that it ties in with the movie release.
The announcement? The couple initially announced their pregnancy in January. Lenny will be the third child for Cage, who already has... who's already a father of two sons, 16-year-old Kal-El. Of course, that's the Superman name. And 31-year-old... Weston.
Yeah.
That's right. Weston.
Is that the vampire?
Other child. Yes.
Daddy, can we go for ice cream?
He is kind of...
You're talking in an interesting way. Your delivery's a little interesting. When I hear you talk, I hear something weird. Do you want two?
I want two scoops, Daddy.
All right, I was going to ask.
Weston.
Do you want Jimmy's on that?
All right, this is strange news, and then again, maybe not. Production on Aziz Ansari's directorial film debut called Me Immortal has reportedly been suspended due to an alleged complaint regarding its star, Bill Murray. According to Deadline, the alleged complaint is for inappropriate behavior and was made last week. Production had already been halted for 3 days after the initial complaint. The decision to fully suspend production was shared with the cast and crew on Wednesday night in a letter. That letter said, late last week, we were made aware of a complaint and we immediately looked into it. After reviewing the circumstances, it has been decided the production cannot continue at this time. We're truly grateful to all of you for everything that you've put into this project. Our hope is to resume production and are working with Aziz and Yuri to figure out the timing. Yuri Henley is producing the film. Be Immortal is based on surgeon Atul Gawande's 2014 book called Be Immortal Medicine and What Matters in the End, as well as directing Ansari, who helms his own Netflix show Master of None, has written and will star in the film alongside Seth Rogen. The film was set for a 2023 release. However, Deadline states that it is now unclear if the film will meet this date thanks to the suspension.
So how prominent is, I guess, Bill Murray's role would have to be fairly prominent if they're suspending the production.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. He's got to be a main character. In 2021, Lucy Liu had opened up about the alleged dispute that she had with Murray while filming the 2000 movie Charlie's Angels. And she had said that she wouldn't get into the specifics, but there was a moment where she had to stand up to Murray while on set. And he's known to be difficult at times, or yes, a real sweetheart, but he can turn, from what I've heard.
That's the word, yeah.
So, speaking of turning, Mike Tyson turned around and smacked the crap out of some guy behind him on a plane. I mean, punched him in the face several times. He was caught on video. They were waiting for a flight to depart from San Francisco International Airport on Wednesday. Tyson appears to hit the man seated behind him on the JetBlue flight several times as someone calls out for him to stop. Do we have audio?
We do.
Of that?
So what's happening is that there is a guy, there's two guys on board the flight who are apparently both were inebriated. Mm-hmm. The one guy sitting...
You can tell in the picture of the one guy. I didn't even read the story yet. I looked at his picture. I'm like, oh, he's bombed.
Right. So he was behind Mike Tyson. Don't even know if it was his seat behind Mike Tyson. But Tyson had been pretty cool and taking pictures with some people getting on the flight and was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And the guy kept, Mike, I can't let you go, Mike.
It's like pestering.
Right, right. Yeah, and it kept going on and on. And you can hear his buddy is doing the color commentary of his friend pestering Mike Tyson.
Here we go.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This crazy, bro. Mike Tyson. Y'all done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. If you don't know how to act, Tyson looking out, man. This crazy.
All right, and then, do they show... I only saw the video of Mike punching him. Do they show him turning around?
I have not seen video of that, so I'm sure that exists.
Mike is rapid fire.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Like, right in the face. Mike, now, He's not doing full-on
no
hardcore punches.
He's doing plain boxing.
Yeah, so here's here's the audio.
Wait, but
of that.
Supposedly the guy threw a water bottle at him.
We heard that
really?
Too.
Yeah, and okay. Then that's why right. He got up and started punching.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Mike, come on. Let's go. Stop back.
Mike reportedly walked off the plane a few minutes ago.
Sorry.
Last segment of the video shows. I was trying to say video and shows.
They were in a city together.
I put the SH on the beginning of vid. Sorry. And
that's good.
I haven't done that in a long time.
But that was a good one, too, because it was a clean curse. Like, sometimes it'll sound like, but that was right on the money.
Had to dump out on that, gang. Yeah. All right, so the last segment of the video shows the same passenger sitting in a seat with a bloody forehead.
Yeah.
The police said officers with the Airport Bureau were called to a domestic terminal around 10 p.m. Mm. The statement said officers arrived, detained two suspects that were believed to be involved in the incident. One subject was treated at the scene for non-life threatening injuries. That subject provided minimal details of the incident and refused to cooperate further with the police investigation. Nothing's going to happen.
I don't think so, because they know that they, first off, they seem to be drunk. Why were they let on the flight?
Yeah, and they were in the wrong, especially if they threw something at him.
Sure.
So the police said the video has been forwarded to the San Francisco County Sheriff's Office, and they are going to see if there's an investigation that needs to be done or not. But this idiot,
Mike Tyson, that's who you're going to piss off.
Seriously, come on.
Come on.
Wait, and I'm watching the video here. I guess I didn't watch it closely yesterday. Mike doesn't even like go into the aisle. He just kind of leans over his seat to the back.
Yeah.
Behind him.
And this mook, this total moron, look at him. Oh my God. That's what he sounds like he would say, for sure.
When I heard the story, though, I went, oh, Mike was doing so good.
He was.
Bunch of people.
Yeah. Listen, there was an incident a couple weeks ago. He was in a comedy club. A dude pulls a gun.
He de-escalated.
He de-escalated the situation.
Yeah. So. Ended up hugging the guy.
Yeah. Yep. All right. What else I have here for you? Zendaya will not be attending the 2022 Met Gala.
The one goddamn year we're going.
The Euphoria star.
We're going?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This is what I'm wearing.
And Nick, you can actually wear your mothball-eaten tuxedo, and it'll be fashion forward.
I'm going to bring that back.
Seriously.
So she said Thursday that she will have to miss the May 2nd event because she'll be working. She said, your girl's got to work. Make some movies. So I wish everyone the best. I will be playing tennis. She is currently filming Challengers. So that is.
She is so good and so likable in the most recent Spider-Man movie. You know, she's just perfect for it.
Yep, I agree. Let's see here. Alec Baldwin was overheard Wednesday night telling entertainment journalist Tom Murrow that his seventh child will have a, quote, all-American name. Page Six reports that one of their spies heard the 30 Rock alum joking that the newborn will be named Babe Ruth or Chase Manhattan. Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria, traditionally have chosen Spanish or Italian names for their children, including Carmen, Maria, Lucia, Raphael, Leonardo, Romeo, and Eduardo, and Donatello.
What was the rat name?
Splinter. Shredder over here.
Yeah, right.
And now the Transformers. So has she sort of gingerly slid back into I'm Spanish mode, or?
Dude, I'd let that go. I have no idea. The VMAs are headed back to New Jersey. MTV announced Thursday that the 2022 Video Music Awards will air live on Sunday, August 28th at New Jersey's Prudential Center.
Okay. God, I could. Right? Does anybody care?
I don't care.
No. Yeah.
We don't care. I know that. So the six episode. Oh, wait. That's the wrong story.
That's a big award show.
It'll be August 28th, and the award show was last broadcast from the Garden State in 2019. All right. So the six episode thing I missed.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
HBO announced Thursday that the six episode series of The Time Traveler's Wife will debut Sunday, May 15th. Drama tells the story of Claire Abshire, played by Rose Leslie, And let's see. Henry DiTambale, portrayed by Theo James.
Theo!
In a marriage with a problem. Time travel. So.
Theo, did you travel through time? Yeah. did anyone read that book? My wife read it and loved it. And then they made a movie of it.
Was that good?
Apparently it's okay.
I didn't see it.
But you know, they apparently have made a remake, Preston, of The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Oh, really?
The David Bowie film.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Okay, she is actually the wife of a time traveler.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was like metaphor for something, so I never, ever gave it.
It's like this new movie that's coming out, Thanos' Dry Cleaner.
Right. I'm happy that Rose Leslie is in something, though. I love her to death, so that'll be cool. Hey, did you see this? F. Murray Abraham is leaving Mythic Quest.
What?
After two seasons, at Apple TV+. The reason is unknown. Lionsgate said F. Murray Abraham will not be returning to season 3 of Mythic Quest. Beyond that, we do not comment on matters concerning personnel.
It sounds like it was a warm departure.
Right. He played video game Arthur C.W. Longbottom alongside Rob McElhenney, of course, and the cast. And the comedy created by McElhenney and Charlie Day and Megan Gans shows video game developers engaging in hard-fought battles in the workplace.
He's the voice of Khonshu in Moon Knight, too, right now, F. Murray.
Yeah.
It's that really
bird-looking.
But the really great resonant voice. And I had to watch the credits, Casey. I was like, I think I recognize that. And it was F. Murray Abraham.
By the way, speaking of Rob, he and Caitlin will be in town next week.
They're being honored by Quora, which is obviously a wonderful organization. And, they're going to be at the Kimmel Center on Thursday.
And we will be there for it. Is it the Kimmel Center?
It's somewhere down
there. The Constitution Center.
That's what I meant.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so near the Kimmel Center.
We're looking at it.
A bit of a walk to the Kimmel Center.
It's at the Hearing Center, Preston.
I mean, you could, like, think city.
All right. And then Steve forwarded me this story. It's a little offbeat, but I wanted to mention this, and I'll put it in Music News again later. A woman named Cynthia Albatron, Alberton, a.k.a. Cynthia Plastercaster. The legendary artist and recovering groupie renowned for the plaster casts as she took of many top musicians' penises and other body parts has passed away after a long illness. Oh, yeah, she was legendary.
Wow.
She was 74 years old.
I remember when, I guess she had a book that came out and she was, touring in support of it. And she has had quite a collection.
Yeah. In fact, she had a collection that included Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Wayne Kramer of MC5, Pete Shelley from the Buzzcocks, Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys, as well as female breasts from the likes of Letitia Sadier of Stereolab, Sally Timms of the Meekins, Peaches, Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and many others. She later expanded her subjects to include filmmakers and other artists and eventually amassed a collection of over 50 plaster phalluses. Kiss! Gene Simmons even wrote a song about her.
Oh.
I have Marissa grab the audio. Plaster Caster. I used to love that. Which is funny because as a kid, I had no idea what that song was about. And then now, lyrically, it's all about, getting your penis cast.
I dipped my penis in a plaster, and we made a mold of it.
Now, that I would have understood. If he would have been, Gene would have been
way,
more.
Just to clarify, the song, I did dip my penis in plaster for this woman.
She began her plaster casting rock career while living in Chicago in 1968. And after meeting Frank Zappa, who found her art concept both humorous and creative, although he did not participate, found in something of a patron, and he moved her to Los Angeles, a gold mine for her line of art, where she found multiple willing assistants to help prepare their subjects for her work. Like, she wouldn't do it. She would have other girls come in and kind of get them aroused.
Yes.
And then she would prepare all the plaster and make the cast.
It was a wonderful experience.
In 1971, after her apartment was robbed, Zappa and Albritton decided that the cast should be preserved for a future exhibition, and he entrusted them to Zappa's business and legal partner, Herb Cohen. And, so she had this. She had stopped making casts for a long time. Her career was immortalized in the 2001 documentary Plaster Caster, and she participated in the 2005 BBC documentary My Penis and I, created by filmmaker Lawrence Barraclough, about his anxiety over the size of his penis.
So, plaster is not the most resilient material, right?
I don't know.
So you make the cast out of plaster.
Right.
And then you make the mold out of like a plastic or
something a little bit more durable.
I'm sorry, that's the mold. And then you fill the mold with something
with
else.
Jello.
To make the actual
cast.
Yeah, well, no, the cast. Well, sculpture. Yeah, I guess so. The
sculpture. I don't know.
So anyhow, it's like when they do someone's face,
right?
You know, they'll do plaster first, then they take that off, and then they pour in
the reverse, and then they pour in the stuff. Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
so, but she was a bit of a legend in the world of rock, and she passed away at the age of 74. All right, we are new movies are.
Yay! Open.
It's a Friday. Here we go.
Someone threw their movie list away?
I threw the plaster caster story in the trash can, and I wanted to save it for music news later on. And it sat right here at the top, and I reached in to grab it. And as I reached in to grab it, it kept going deeper and deeper and deeper
like
in the trash can. It was like quicksand. And I finally had it, and I'm sorry. I had a bit of a fit there for a moment.
Okay.
You had to have been in the studio to see it.
It was great.
It was all physical. Okay, movies opening today. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, an action comedy starring Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal, and Tiffany Haddish. The plot is creatively unfulfilled and facing financial ruin. A fictionalized version of Nicolas Cage must accept a $1 million offer to attend the birthday of a dangerous superfan. Things take a wildly unexpected turn when Cage is recruited by a CIA operative and forced to live up to his own legend, channeling his most iconic and beloved on-screen characters in order to save himself and his loved ones. Hour and 46 minutes long. It's rated R. Wide theater release today. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a good thumbs up with an 89% score.
Nice.
The Northmen, action-adventure starring Alexander Skarsgård, Nicole Kidman, and Anya Taylor-Joy. Prince Emleth is on the verge of becoming a man when his father is brutally murdered by his uncle, who kidnaps the boy's mother. 2 decades later, Amleth is now a Viking who's on a mission to save his mother, kill his uncle, and avenge his father.
That's a long afternoon.
2 hours and 17 minutes long. Rated R. Wide theater release. Gives the same score as the Nicolas Cage movie at 89%.
Very cool.
I normally, these types of movies aren't my thing, but this one, he's a great actor. And when I watched the trailer for this, I was like, okay, I think I'm on board for this one.
It looks like it's not, you know, entirely rooted in... it's more lore than history.
All right, and then finally, The Bad Guys opens. It's an animated adventure comedy stars Sam Rockwell, Mark Maron, and Zazie Beetz. A carjacker criminal crew of animal outlaws are about to attempt their most challenging con yet, and that's becoming model citizens. Never have there been 5 friends of infamous as infamous as The Bad Guys. Dashing pickpocket Mr. Wolf, seen it all, safecracker Mr. Snake, chillmaster of disguise Mr. Shark. But when, after years of countless heists and being the world's most wanted villains, the gang is finally caught, Mr. Wolf brokers a deal to save them all from prison. Hour and 40 minutes long, rated PG, wide theater release, and that also gets a good score from Rotten Tomatoes with an 84%. Now we're on to the clips. While filming Polar Bear, co-director Jeff Wilson observed countless bears in their Arctic habitat. And in this clip, he recalls a particular incident when he and the crew saw something that really, really, really... We good? Blew them away.
Yeah. Here we go.
In that particular moment, 20 bears coming together, having just feasted on a whale and having a great play together, was something that I had never witnessed before. Very few of our guides had witnessed before. But also just that social behavior, that kind of playing together, because bears, for the most of their lives, are solitary.
Doesn't he talk funny?
Polar Bear can be streamed on Disney Plus.
I want to see this. I saw the trailer for it last night.
Next clip. Los Angeles broker and reality star Christine Quinn serves many fashionable looks in the show Selling Sunset. In this clip, she explains the truth behind her day-to-day outfits.
I wouldn't say it's realistic that I'm wearing 6-inch heels every single day and pulling looks and serving hair like that. I mean, obviously, that's for the show, and we had a lot of fun with it. But usually, I wear jeans and flats when I'm with my clients.
Shut the f*** up.
Pulling looks.
I'm glad we have that. Uh-huh. I'm glad that was out there and released and we passed it on.
Season 5 of Selling Sunset can now be streamed on
Look
Netflix.
At these. We're looking at a video. Look at these robotic women.
I know.
Plastic.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it just rich real estate? Is that what
That's
it is?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Pulling there you go. Pulling looks, though.
Pulling looks all pulling the time. Looks. All right, and that's it, the Entertainment Report. We have a lot to get to, so I want to move right along. We have several guests, a few of them in the studio. We have comedian Steve Trevino, who's going to be here. We have Cindy Williams, Shirley Feeney of Laverne and
Shirley. Love her.
She's going to be stopping in. She's got a show at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Cindy!
We also are going to have a Zoom interview. Gary Sinise will be on the show.
Oh, my
today.
God.
Really, really cool.
Yes.
We have concert cash. We have a special guest for a special announcement that we'll get to close to 8 o'clock around Bizarre File time. I think you may want to make plans for this special announcement that we have and more. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Ron Jones. Nita Strauss with David Draymond.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, we made an announcement the other day of the Preston and Steve side stage. It's going to be at the MMRBQ, and a couple of things about that. First of all, Froggy's going to be playing a set.
Awesome.
Excited to see those ladies on our stage. Also, DJ Jackie Bam Bam spinning one of his famous DJ sets for the party deck, which will be on the Preston and Steve side stage. And we had mentioned that we're going to have this band, Sidearm, who is going to essentially be your backing band as a lead singer. We have 10 different slots for people to audition for. And this is what I'm getting to here, is to tell you how you can audition and be at the MMRBQ. Here's what you do. We have a list of songs, like 50 songs. These guys play everything.
They're ready to go. This is what they do.
And you can pick one of those songs and then just have a video of you performing this song, posted on social media using a hashtag MMRBQ. We'll find it. We'll look at them. And we're going to pick the 10 ones that we like most. Everybody who wins, who are our finalists, will get 4 tickets to the MMRBQ. And then they'll get up on stage and sing a song with the band in front of the audience. So
it's very cool.
It's going to be fun. We're very much looking forward to this. So here's what you do. Go to WMMR.com and should have a link that'll be right there for you to check out and the list of songs for you to choose from. And it's everything from Journey to Black Crowes, Foo Fighters, Green Day, Led Zeppelin, The Doors, The Beatles. There's just tons of stuff on here. So you find something, I think, that you'll be able to perform. And then you sing it, make the video, and hashtag it MMRBQ, and we'll see if you end up on him.
Also, it's like singing for your tickets.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And your friends will get to see you on stage.
There you go.
A pack of tickets, which is really cool. Speaking of four packs, the 420 deal is happening. So you can get 4 tickets, $20 each. It's an $80 charge for 4 tickets, plus the Ticketmaster fees on top of that. And that's available through May 2nd at 10 p.m. while supplies last. And all the details available at WMMR.com. Before we get into anything, can I do a quick shout out?
Absolutely.
This is for my son, Parker, found out that somebody he works with is a big fan of the show. I think it's his boss. He had mentioned, so I want to give a shout-out. Thank you to listening, Alex Monteith, and also the whole crew at Lightspeed. Where my son Parker works. He's a Amazon delivery driver.
Yes, so. Working his ass off, right?
So thanks for taking care of my boy.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, and thank you for listening. Yeah, he digs it working there.
You're not on his route, are you?
No, he does not deliver in our area. You might find him in the Pottstown area.
All right.
Oh, so okay.
Very cool.
Yep, look for that really handsome, long-haired driver. That's my son. All right, you know what? Since we have so many guests on, I think that we need to clean out the junk drawer right now.
Wow.
Or we will never get to it. And I do have some stories I think you guys will dig.
I'm sorry, my accent fart wasn't working there.
Right. Okay.
There we go.
There it is. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Let me.
What's happening?
Dig into the drawer and
it's
find
like
something.
You're rooting through a drawer there.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. So I mentioned this story before, but I just want to remind you that it's happening this weekend in the skies above California. Two cousins are going to accomplish a never-before-seen air stunt. Luke Akins and Andy Farrington Longtime pilots, skydivers, and members of the Red Bull Air Force aviation crew will attempt the first plane swap, where they will fly their planes close together, put them into a nosedive, and then skydive into each other's aircraft before making a safe landing. So that's happening on Sunday.
So I wonder, and as far as the story goes, have they gotten FAA approval for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a planned stunt, and right. This is to Red Bull. It's all going to be good. Hulu, yeah, they're not doing this guerrilla style.
Right.
They will, if they got gorillas to do that.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Wow. But it's getting a harness that fits because they're so top heavy.
So it'll be live streamed on Hulu on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And it includes multiple parts that have been planned out between Akins and Farrington and their team of engineers. They will take off.
It's a gorilla.
I did not know we had a gorilla sound effect.
Jesus. Geronimo!
The pair will take off in their own Cessna 182 single-seat aircrafts and fly at elevation 14,000 feet. They'll pitch their planes into a synchronized nosedive, stop their engines, use a custom air brake that will hold the planes in a controlled descent as they exit their own aircraft. They will free-fly skydive towards each other's planes, catch up to the aircrafts, enter the cockpits, disengage the air brake system, restart the engines, and take control of the
planes. That's amazing.
And then land
them
safely.
Put on the parking brakes? Wouldn't that stop the plane dead
still? Yeah, totally. Yeah. 100%. So I can't wait to see that. Mm. That's pretty damn cool.
That's right up there with you. So remember the one, I don't know if it's for Red Bull, Preston, but it was the guy who dove out of a plane without a parachute onto a massive net.
Yeah, that was through Red Bull.
Yeah.
So Jesus. He dove with no parachute into a net. All right, let me see what else we got here. Thank God I found this one. Nick had given me this. So the Phillies are bringing fanny packs back after banning them at the start of the season. I didn't know this was happening, and it was. They're also bringing it along with clear or solid tote bags and slightly larger purses that were previously not allowed. So the reversal appears to be due to complaints from fans.
Fanny packs are a big thing?
Steve, it's so confusing and so weird, and Preston will explain.
Well, essentially, they banned a whole lot of things you couldn't bring in. And it was tote bags, backpacks, drawstring bags, camera bags, fanny packs, handbags, duffel bags, and binocular cases.
Oh, come on.
Wait, so what are you allowed to bring
You were allowed to bring in...
Your dignity.
Diaper bags, small purses, medical bags, and convenience store plastic bags.
Fanny pack is a small bag.
Kathy, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And so it's started at the beginning of the pandemic and then, you know, letting fans back in. They changed a lot of the rules they did at the Wells Fargo Center. I know that the Link has had some issues over the years with, like, clear bags versus ones that you can't see through. No.
Sorry, we had a spill.
Well, you know, Nick, it goes back. Back to at the Link when they make you check your, like, my wife's pocketbook when
exactly.
We saw the stones.
And some of that has to do with the size of the bag, Steve.
Yes.
But Kathy, to the inconsistencies. So my girlfriend and I went to a Flyers game earlier this year, and she brought in a handbag. The handbag was too big, so they turned us around at security, she had to take it back out and put it in the car. Which, listen, it's a minor inconvenience or whatever, but
it still sucks.
It's annoying, right? However, if she were a mother and she had been carrying a diaper,
giant diaper bag, it would have been fine.
Or even a diaper in that purse, in her hand purse,
it
would have been totally fine.
So always have a diaper. So
what I would say is have a faux baby with you.
Yes.
Because we have that. I have that real looking baby doll.
You can carry and I'll carry the diapers.
Kathy, where we're going in, he's so fussy.
Yeah.
She's sleeping. Please.
So I don't know if the Wells Fargo Center is going to change their policy like the Phils have, but a lot of people were pushing back. And I saw several people at Flyers games and Sixers games, actually, this year being turned around and the Phils, I think, appropriately have responded.
Come on. Oh, look, the fanny pack is approved by the Phillies.
Well, just now.
This is the new one.
This is the new one.
They just changed it.
But honestly, if you had a diaper in your bag but no child with you, does that
Here's what you can do, Casey. I swear to God. People said, I'm meeting my family here. My husband already brought in my son, you know, and he's at the seats or whatever. So there were these weird workarounds.
What about adult diapers?
Adult diapers, you have to wear them.
Yeah. On the outside.
You can say, this is for
me. On the outside.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's just, it's bizarre, and like, it's kind of like mask rules. Like, well, there just seems to be no consistency with it, and I think that's what a lot of people have the problems with.
This makes me think of other sort of workarounds, and maybe this is a topic for another time, but, you know, people would oftentimes, Steve, in like California,
yeah,
for the high occupancy lanes, would put like mannequins in their car.
So you're saying drive into the actual facility with a dummy?
Well,
that's not a workaround. That's flat out illegal. They would pull you over and give you a ticket.
It's illegal, but it's also a lie, and so is putting a diaper in your bag, even if you don't have a child.
Well, this is now going to alleviate some of this, because it's just insane that you got to have something to carry stuff in when you go to a game.
Most people are guessing it's a money grab, because, you can't... Listen, concessions are incredibly expensive.
That's true.
And if you bring in snacks and so on, it's cutting that off, so...
Well, I brought in my Showtime Rotisserie Grill.
There are workarounds with that, too, Preston. If you bring in a plastic Wawa bag with a hoagie, you're fine. But if you brought in a plastic Wawa bag with...
Diaper.
A cooler... And it had to be like a soft cooler.
Right.
If you brought in a hard cooler, that wasn't allowed. But if you brought in a soft cooler, like what those Dunkin' bags that we get, then you could put in a hoagie in there. Like it's they're so weird when it comes to the enforcement of these rules.
That's crazy.
Wait, and Kathy, you'll get this because there was a lot of confusion with the older guards that were checking. So like crossbody bags that are small.
That was okay.
No, they weren't, because people were calling them fanny packs, and because fanny packs they just didn't understand.
But why no fanny packs? What is it why you can't carry
because
a fanny pack?
Because they look stupid.
But on opening day, I had a total Casey moment, and I thought about it because I had a coat because it was still a little chilly. And I thought, if I make a purse out of a coat, if I make a coat into a purse, it'd be fine. I could make a coat and put anything I wanted in it and carry it as a coat.
Like in the pockets?
And that could be fine.
Okay. Yeah. It's too arbitrary, and as you were saying, Nick, that's what pisses people off.
Somebody texted in that the Wells Fargo Center has just allowed fanny packs back in last weekend, so I guess the Wells Fargo Center is also adjusting the rules.
I want to talk to like an executive and be like, what is it with the fanny pack? Because to me, all that is a small bag. Why would you not be able to carry that?
Yeah, that my girlfriend had the exact same question.
They're also giving away fanny packs in a few months.
By the way, it was like Casey at a fish show one time to get rid of a bag. He's like, I bought it here inside the venue.
No, I bought this here. It's merch.
It is a reusable, fish donut bag. It's like one of those shopping bags.
Right.
I bought it at the show. So it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday concert down at the beach in Atlantic City, and I bought this on Friday night, and then on Saturday, I brought it with me. And she's like, oh, you can't bring that in there. I go,
acquiesce? Or
no.
It's insane.
So what I ended up doing is...
You brought in some diapers.
Well, so when you buy this thing, it folds up into like a little, tiny little pillow.
Right.
And so I did that. I folded it up, and the lady watched me do it.
Yeah.
And then I was with my buddy. I go, dude, this chick's watching me. I'm like, can you just put this in your pocket and bring it in?
Yeah.
And sure enough, when I went to go in, she goes, she had a security guard. Check that guy. I think he's got a bag on him.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Makes you feel like a criminal.
Well, anyhow, they've backpedaled on
good.
This. And you should be good to bring in some of those items. All right, let me go in. I got other things, folks.
Come on.
Before we get into the weekend. I love this story. Snickers is shutting down social media rumors that it has smoothed out the chocolate topping of the candy bar to eliminate what some have characterized as a penis vein.
Oh, come on.
Knock it off.
No, they didn't do it.
Oh, all right.
No, there were rumors.
Okay. I love that. That's to me, that's sort of an iconic swirl.
You love the penis veins.
I love penis veins. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Somebody had gotten on social media and said that, this is cancel culture, and, you know, they were spouting that BS, that Snickers had removed it because people were offended by it.
Did they remove the vein?
No, they didn't. It's fake.
Oh.
It's face. Okay. It's face. It's fake. So the Marzone brand this week declared in a tweet that, quote, contrary to what's trending on Twitter, the veins remain.
All right.
I never thought of them as veins. I thought as the way you, like, on the icing on the top of a cake.
Yeah, some people think it looks like a vein in a penis.
Well, then just do a full penis design on it.
So Snopes.com traced the source of the rumors to a photograph circulating on social media that showed an unusually smooth Snickers bar, along with claims that it had taken out the vein because of the X-rated imagery. Snopes concluded that the smooth bar could have been a one-off or possibly due to a manufacturing error. But the site shot down that rumor. They wrote, Mars has not removed the vein from candy bars after being pressured by the, quote, woke mob. In fact, we find no calls for this vein to be removed at all. And they're actually, Snickers is having fun with it. So not only did Snickers tweet about it, but so did others Mars-owned brands, including Twix, which tweeted, close call, prompting Snickers to reply, waiting for the day you show yours off. So the candy bars are kind of going back and forth in there.
Mars owns M&M's as well?
Yeah, it's that same company, M&M okay. Mars, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's not true, but I thought that was a lot of fun. So, all right, let me see what else we can find in here.
Oh, yeah, sorry. There you go.
A recent study to the American College of Cardiology concludes that living next to train tracks, airports, and noisy highways is more than a mere annoyance. It could also cause a heart attack, specifically in New Jersey.
Oh, wait. Why? Why in New Jersey in particular?
Well, that's where they did the study.
All right. Oh.
So the study presented to the American College of Cardiology's 71st Annual Scientific Session looked at heart attack rates among nearly 16,000 New Jersey residents hospitalized for a heart attack in 2018. Researchers use a database that records all cardiovascular hospitalizations in the state, as well as data from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics to calculate noise levels.
The cardio division.
And patients were divided into two groups, those who experienced noise levels of 65 decibels or higher, or those with low noise exposure. And the heart attack rate was 72% higher in places with high levels of noise pollution. Well, and they think there's some sort of a correlation.
I can see that on some level, but I'll tell you this. I used to, the first apartment that my wife and I lived in was right adjacent to elevated train tracks. And I found that sound soothing.
That's good.
Yeah, I found the sound of the train soothing. So I guess, but obviously if you're living next to a super active airport, that might agitate you a bit.
It's funny, Steve, because I agree with you. I find train sounds soothing. Yeah. But I live relatively close to a highway, and I really love where I live. But the one thing that bothers me about it is the highway
really?
Noise.
Right.
And that's the only reason.
When they hit the speed?
Well, no, it's just trucks and, right, and cars
trucks
going up and down the highway.
Motorcycles, right?
Yeah, and listen, like it's the, you know, when you live near a highway, you're going to have to deal with that. And I can accept that. But it, like, if I live near train tracks, I think it'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
You know?
So listen, researchers later concluded that high noise exposure was responsible for about 1 in 20 heart attacks in New Jersey.
Oh, 1 in 20. That's actually pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
So quiet down out there.
Yeah. I get startled in my house quite a bit because in my bedroom, like, and all the bedroom doors on my second floor, I put those automatic hinges on.
Right.
Because, you know, dogs are going in and right. making
Never
messes
coming out.
And stuff. No. But in my bedroom, I swear to God, when I'm going to sleep, everybody comes into my room like Kramer and Seinfeld. I swear to God. And so yesterday, I was doing some stuff by the door. My wife walked in. And I kind of like jumped a little bit, and she's like, "What were you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "You just like, it looked like you were doing something. You were trying to hide what you were doing."
I was
like, "No, I was standing up." I go, right. "No, I go, you walked in like Kramer, like you scared the hell out of me when you walked in the door." And every single time, like I'm trying to fall asleep, people walk in.
Do you think that will eventually result in you having a heart attack?
Maybe, Steve, yeah. Because it gets my heart racing. Like it really does startle me every single time. Like somebody walks into my bedroom door.
Have you asked them not to?
Yesterday I did. Okay. I finally came to the point where I was like, "Can you please stop?"
Listen, okay. I recommend you ask them not to do that.
Hey, going back to the noise thing, does anybody? My wife and I now have a joke. If we're in the car together and we're listening to music kind of loud,
yeah.
And you're trying to like see if traffic is coming or something like that. You have to turn the radio down so you can see better.
Oh yeah. Oh. Yes. No. All right. Oh God! Wait. Yes. When
turn
do
that
I
down.
Do that?
I can't see.
I do it for parking.
Parking. Parking.
Yeah. Park, especially in the city.
Yeah.
If I'm driving and I need to parallel park or get, you know, pull into a spot, I have to turn the radio down so I can concentrate.
If you're getting close to your destination, but you're not quite sure where it is, you have to turn the radio off.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I think that makes perfect sense because you're not distracted, right? Yeah. I mean, how many times are you caught up in a song and you drive past an exit or something?
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time.
Hey, any questions that we have about heart attacks and noise and kids coming into Casey's room
yeah.
can be answered by the good doctor.
Hey!
yesterday's birthday boy, Dr. Mike Sirigliano of Fox 29 and Penn Medicine. Hey, man.
I love you. Yesterday, you all texted me. It's so sweet. You are the most beautiful people. I'm telling you. It's just so nice.
Well, we love
you. Just get hate mail. You're just so sweet. Anyway, very important. This is not the first study to show this. When you live near areas like airports or areas where there's trucks and things like that, the noise has two effects. One, it causes stress in the body, which releases catecholamines, which are these hormones that can make your blood pressure go up, make your cholesterol go up, and it's been associated with inflammation. So it's a real deal. It's not crazy. It's
But I have also found that, and we were talking about living near train tracks, I found bizarrely soothing, that sound. So I guess things you might associate with being disruptive can also be pleasant and work the other way. Would you say that, or am I not long for this world?
Well, no, I prefer rain.
Yeah.
rather than a diesel train.
I guess it depends on the decibel level of it, how close you are to the sound as well, Mike.
Exactly. The louder the noise. It's called noise pollution, and it's everywhere. And not only is there the problem of that, but if you're in or live near a highway, you know, these especially diesel engines emit these little tiny microparticles, and they end up getting into the body, into the bloodstream.
Cool. And it makes you impotent.
Tell me more.
Well, I don't know about that. Nothing makes you impotent, man. You're like a dynasty. Anyway, so we're talking about Bill West. He's another dynasty, man. He's a man. Anyway, the bottom line is when it comes to these microparticles, they can come in and they get absorbed into the body and they cause damage to the vessels. And that's another reason that being near highways and areas where there's a lot of pollution is not helpful.
All right. It makes sense.
If you find yourself in that situation, if you find yourself in that noisy situation, you can't get out of it, what's your best option? I mean, wearing earplugs or something?
Earplugs and people who do shift work, kind of like you guys, sometimes you need to wear coverings over your eyes. It's very, very important.
So this is just at night then? Like, what about if it's the middle of the day and a plane goes by or a train goes by?
Right. I mean, the noise is not good for you because it does increase the level of inflammation and stress. But if you're trying to sleep, as we were talking about, it's really important that you get a good night's sleep. And so you need to wear something that protects your ears so that you don't get woken up by the noise, and make sure that your eyes are covered. There was a study showing that even if you have your eyes closed, blue light emitted from computers and things, about 10% of that light still gets through into your retina. And so even with your eyes closed. So it's very important for people that do shift work or people that critically need sleep, and we all do, and we're all sleep deprived.
So my crazy brother actually he knows what he's doing when he covers all of the lights in his, like, he'll cover the lights on the TV, on the, you know, like anything that's in the room.
Does he put his phone in?
Down. Like, he can't sleep if there's like one tiny bit of light coming into the room. So, Dr. Mike, actually, I'll let him know he's going to be healthy.
You tell him he's doing it right.
He's doing it right.
Absolutely right.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
We love you.
Have a great weekend. Mike Sirigliano.
That might make you reconsider purchasing that home next to the missile testing site.
I wasn't going to say anything, but since we're talking about loud noises, I want to point out just a complete dick move that I experienced a couple of weeks ago. It was in Skipac, and there's a great little outside restaurant called Basta Pasta. You can sit outside when the weather's nice and eat dinner and everything. And
al fresco.
It was like a Friday or Saturday. It was busy, you know, and a lot of people out there, and Skipac is this little village, and from time to time, groups of motorcycles will come through because they're cruising, you know, they're doing whatever, they're going from town to town. And man, these two guys, it was just two guys riding together, and they clearly did this on purpose. As they were going by, they see all these people outside. I mean, they gunned it. And so, you know, with the tinnitus, and my ears are, it's like a raw nerve in your tooth exposed to loud noise, and they went by and they hit it hard on purpose just to do that.
Yeah,
and
I mean, a joke.
I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
you wanted to go push them off.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're a bully.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just a bully. You're just a dick, and you got nothing out of, you know.
Yes.
I was really, really angry about that.
I hate when you do that.
I hate people.
That's
like
why
that.
When you go to Basta Pasta next time, have one of those speed strips that yeah. you can lay out.
I'll throw spike strips,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Throw those out there.
Press, you would have been so pissed at this. Last summer, down the shore, there were these kids that were walking on the sidewalk, and these people drove by them on, in a pickup truck. And this lady, who kind of looked a lot like Mama June Shannon, hung out the passenger side window and blew an air horn at these kids.
Oh my God!
She was a freaking adult,
God.
You know, not like a little young adult. Like she was probably at least.
Was it in fact Mama June Shannon?
No, but she was a fat ass, is what she was, and I was like, why would you do something like that? I mean, like she was.
You're just a bully.
Yeah,
you're a bully, and something went wrong in your life. But don't keep throwing that on everyone else.
So I agree with you both 100%. Is it? Are they seeking attention? Is it like and to pay attention to them and then get angry about it? Like, is that what they're actually seeking in the first place? Like, I don't know how to respond to
it. I think this was more than just look at me. It was like, let's really piss them off. Because it was painfully loud.
Yeah. Well,
painfully loud,
especially for you.
Yeah. And
now, if you have an electric vehicle, you can rev that all you want.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, let me move on to something else. I just wanted to talk for a moment. Something decidedly lighter. Oreos. Let's talk about those for just a moment. Scientists have taken a closer look at the flow and fracture of the cookies.
And the penis vein?
MIT researchers say that the cream is officially mushy and tends to stick to one side of the cookie in terms of rheology, which study co-author Crystal Owens explains can be used to measure the texture of food depending on the failure stresses and strains. They actually created a device that would pull apart the wafers equally.
With equal pulling pressure.
Yes, to try and perfectly find it and split it. And they found that actually the reason that it sticks to one side is because the way the cookies are manufactured, they squirt the cream on one wafer first, and then they put the other one on top of it. So the one that it squirted on first has just a tiny little bit more stick to it.
You know, we were talking the other day about particular ways of eating things like M&Ms and different types of candy, and nobody brought up Oreos. And I was kind of surprised afterwards. I was thinking about it. We all sort of have our way of eating an Oreo, you know, whether you screw it apart or eat it all at the same time or what, dunk it in milk, whatever version you have.
I just eat it as the cookie.
You're not a dunker?
I don't know. No. I've had all different types. I have the, I'll drink milk with it, certainly.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like the time I accidentally ordered 1,500 boxes of Oreo.
Wait, is
this in one?
Yes. Well,
they are good.
I misread the allotment per box. And so I got very good at it. That is a big thing, but it does make sense. The cream isn't going to react. It's going to, there's an adhesion, I guess, that takes place.
Yeah.
And it'll favor one side. Did it say statistically, were they able to pull off the perfect split in the cream? Or
No. You're going to get a little bit on there no matter what. And they created this very sophisticated device to do it.
Next, cancer.
Write this down. We need to talk about this at a different time. But things that you ordered and you didn't know the quantity you were ordering.
Oh, yeah.
I could bring in Post-it notes for the whole office.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We'll bring that up. I have a couple of those. Right. Just take a look at my medicine cabinet.
We're going to have to wrap because we gotta stay on time. Yeah. We have Contra Cash coming up. We've got a special announcement coming up in the next break, along with the Bizarre File. Then we have a whole list of guests that are going to be on the show. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Don't go too far because you will not want to miss the information that we have to pass along when we return.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we do the concert cash keyword, let's do this. To remind you, it is indeed Friday, my friend.
Concert cash keyword.
You can win tickets to the MMRBQ along with $500 if you enter the word slam. You'll be in the running for it. So the word is slam, S-L-A-M. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. There are three ways for you to do it. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. And all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners will get a call from Beasley, our company, so make sure you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com, and it is sponsored by AAA Distributor. So the word again is SLAM, S-L-A-M, and good luck to you, friend.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you this morning by Natural Lawn of America, safer for your lawn, kids, and pets. You can schedule their full-service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Let's start with this. Here's a fun one. In Washington State, firefighters came to the rescue of a woman who fell and got stuck in a vault toilet after attempting to retrieve her cell phone.
Oh, Jesus. Man.
This occurred at the top of Mount Walker. Rescuers said the woman in her 40s was using the toilet when she dropped the phone inside. The woman reportedly tried to dismantle the toilet by taking off the seat and housing to get to her phone. She used her dog's leashes to help support her while trying to fish the phone out.
Yeah.
But they failed and she fell into the toilet head first.
Okay, is it one of those toilets, like you said, on the top of Mount Walker, one of those toilets where it's just a hole? Do you know what I mean, Nick? You do a lot
like
of
an outhouse toilet?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what this is like.
It said she took off the seat and housing to get to her phone. So it has a housing and a seat.
Yeah, but underneath that seat, it's not like plumbing.
It's a vault toilet. Okay. You're just dumping into the ground, from what I understand. She then used her cell phone to call 911 after about 20 minutes in an attempt to climb out.
She actually used the phone, huh?
Firefighters found her inside, assessed the situation, and then made a tall makeshift cribbing platform, which was passed down, helping her to
stand.
It's
okay. Just let me die.
Then they pulled her out to safety. So I don't know how long she was in there. She waited 20 minutes before she even called them.
Right.
Oh my. And then it had to take them a while to get there. The woman told rescuers she was not injured and did not want to be taken to the hospital. Firefighters said that she was washed down and given a Tyvek suit to wear, and then was strongly encouraged to pursue medical attention after being exposed to human waste.
On the plus side, while she was down there, she won concert cash, Preston.
Oh, yeah. However, they said that she just wanted to leave and travel back to California. Rescuers said the woman was extremely fortunate not to be overcome by toxic gases
or
sustain an injury while she was down there. Some people die from asphyxiation.
Remember there was something like that with manure or something, and two brothers died?
Yeah.
They were in a pit over it? Yeah, it can kill you quickly.
It's happened a few times, yeah. A Florida bride barely got a chance to enjoy her nuptials after being arrested for allegedly lacing her own wedding food with marijuana and serving it to unsuspecting guests.
You can't do that.
Dana Glennie and her caterer, Jocelyn Brandt, were charged with tampering, culpable negligence, and delivery of marijuana.
It's gonna be great.
Deputies responded to a wedding ceremony after multiple guests reported feeling weird. One guest told officials that he felt like he had, quote, drugs inside him after eating food and drinking wine.
Feel like I'm at a seahorse party.
Yeah. Other guests were vomiting and complaining of stomach pains as first responders arrived on the scene, and some were taken to the hospital.
Seahorses
forever.
And by the way, dude, so today's marijuana, today's pot.
Right, right.
If you are not a smoker, if you don't dabble and you have some, it can F you up.
So, yes, friends of ours who have been users for over the course of many years say that. And it you're not prepared for the potency.
You got to take baby steps at first.
My friend runs a wedding venue, and she had a bride and groom who wanted to give out pot brownies as their favor as they're leaving the wedding. And she was like, you can't do that.
Right.
She's like, we're actually not going to allow you to give pot brownies to your guests.
Well, at our wedding, we had at every table, every plate had a hypodermic with heroin in it. Yeah.
Miranda, a little gift. Yeah. Miranda Cady, a guest, said, I thought I was having a heart attack. My heart was racing, and before I went to bed that night, I actually slept in my car on site. Detectives took food items from the wedding, including chocolate-covered strawberries, pudding, shot desserts, and lasagna to have them tested. 2 months later, Brian and Glennie were arrested.
That's crazy.
A North Charleston man told police that he thought a gun that injured a zombie performer at a Myrtle Beach haunted house over the weekend was a prop. Listen to how this played out. Keel Brown and his family were walking through the haunted house portion of the Hollywood Wax Museum when several relatives were frightened by an employee performing as a zombie. One person in the group fell to the ground, and during the scramble, a gun slid across the floor and allegedly struck Brown in the foot. Brown told investigators he thought the gun was a prop. It was part of the haunted house experience.
Oh, man.
When he picked it up, and then he fired twice, striking the costume employee once in the shoulder. He thought it was just like part of a game, you know, like, you
that
know,
blood looks real.
Yeah. Brown.
Well done.
Brown is accused of giving the gun to his 15-year-old son as they left the popular tourist attraction. Brown later fled to the Charleston area and was taken into custody. Now, it didn't help that he ran.
I shot a zombie.
With help from the U.S. Marshal Task Force, they returned him to Myrtle Beach.
He's freaking out.
The source of the gun came... Where the source of the gun was remains under investigation. The employee was treated and released from a local hospital. Brown has been charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor in connection with his son getting the gun. Wow. All right, and then finally, we'll do one more quick story. Some shoppers in Indiana were in for a slithery surprise during their recent trip to Walmart. They ran into a ball python who was hanging out on one of the store's shelves.
Whoa. What the f***?
Animal control took the snake to a shelter where they named him Wolverine.
Hey, Ma, they sell snakes now.
And now he's looking for a forever home. Because he is still stressed and getting used to being handled, officials say Wolverine would do best with an experienced snake owner. So they just happened to find him right there on the shelves at Walmart.
Well, they sell live bait.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File. A reminder... You've got about 7 minutes or so to enter the word that we have for you, which for concert cash, which is slam, S-L-A-M. Mm. And we're going to give you until 15 after the hour to do it. So good luck. Make sure that you enter. All right. We have an announcement to make and a guest who is here in conjunction with that announcement. So before I mention our guest, that's going to give it all away.
Absolutely.
So I think I'll make the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, Friday, May 27th, a live broadcast of the Preston and Steve Show will be taking place at Keenan's in North Wildwood. It is the official opening of the Jersey Shore, my friends, with Coors Light as our sponsor, and we are psyched to welcome our good friend back to the studio, Mr. Scott Keenan. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Good to see you, Scott.
After a 2-year hiatus.
Yes.
And by the way, we like pasted everything we could to get through those 2 years and kind of did something last year that was sort of went over well, but this is the real deal. We're coming back.
Yep. We will return, like I said, on Friday, May 27th. And actually, we have something kind of cool that's going on.
It's fantastic.
To participate in it. First of all, how have you been?
Doing well.
Excellent, man.
Everyone's doing well.
Excellent. And I'm telling you, so I now have a home in Wildwood Crest. So I'm down that way from time to time, and we'll ride my bike by Keenan's, and you guys seem to be, you know, back in the old swing of things.
Yeah, we are. As my father used to say a couple years ago, we're breaking even, but everybody seems to be enjoying themselves.
Well, let me ask you, is it still called Wildwood, or is it just Keenan's now because of the expansion?
Yeah, right? Please, don't start that stuff. It's still North Wildwood.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Cool. And obviously, you've done a whole bunch of improvements and stuff that were really cool. Had to take a little break. But there are people who maybe have never been, who have heard about the legendary live broadcast. Well, if you've been hearing about it and wanting to go, you can do it now. And it's just weeks away.
Yeah. Well, realistically, you have kids that turn 21 that missed a whole year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we last year... They were combined 2 years into
we
one.
We need to corrupt you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, last year, so we, you know, we did sort of a hybrid. We sent Brent Porsche down there, and he did his thing. And then I went down later on in the afternoon, and I stopped by probably around 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. And it looked like people were having a great time and just really relishing in the fact that they were able to, you know, be able to hang out on premises on site. And they've shut the street down. Is that going to be the case for...
Is that permanent?
Permanent.
Oh, wow.
That is permanent. Last year they did it because of COVID.
Yeah.
And what they did, they allowed us to extend our property, our pavements.
Right.
So now the city of North Wildwood, who was excellent, you know, when they gave us lemons, they made lemonade out of North Wildwood.
Well, that's excellent. Wait, so what's shut down?
The street right in front of Kenan's.
Yeah, right. You know where people stand in line right in front there?
They have
their barricades.
No.
And you can't drive on there. You can ride your bike through there if you want to or something like that. But yeah, and so there's people hanging out outside quite a bit.
Yeah, the cross streets are still open.
Yep.
But the main thoroughfare, that's called Old New Jersey Avenue. That's closed now.
That's terrific.
Yeah. It's permanently closed. Yeah. They went to the state and they got that approved to be permanently closed.
Well, good for them, because you got to make up for some lost time.
We can do some stuff.
We can do stuff.
Yes,
if we can.
Which will make... No, you can't.
You just can't shoot anybody in the butt like we did the one time.
Yes, no guns. We won't bring any firearms.
No. Everything will look real.
No. Alcohol is just not permitted in the street.
Right.
On the sidewalk it is.
All right, so
we could, you know, because we're now like, okay, what are some things that we can do? Because we tend to have these little games that we play when we go to Kenan.
Much to Scott's chagrin.
Yep.
I literally texted Scott a few weeks ago. And I was like, hey, man, you know anybody with a helicopter? I'm trying to, you know, because maybe we could do something with a helicopter.
Well,
it's so much fun. It's like, and I told you this off air, but every day we're getting texts. Hey, you doing Kenan's again this year?
Oh,
hey, we get
constantly.
Emails. People like, and people have made it a part of their routine for opening up the summer, for going down the Jersey Shore. And so to be able to make this announcement and tell people, yes, we are in fact going back. I know people have been chomping at the bit to come down and see you guys again.
Yeah, some 15, 16, I think it's 16 years now, I think we've been doing Eggs with Peg. We tried to establish an event.
Yeah.
And now we definitely established the event in North Wildwood and also for the whole Jersey Shore area. You know?
It is the definitive party. It is the kickoff point. I mean, it has to happen, and people feel unfulfilled. It's just not the proper lead into the summer if you're not at Kenan's. And so we're incredibly psyched, and we're going to try to I'm working on things that'll make this extra special this return.
And I do have a helicopter for you, but this can't look like the Scarface episode.
Yeah,
oh my God,
we're going to do that. Push Ed Murray Abraham out of the air.
Oh, my God. From time to time, you guys expand the club, you change the inside of it, or you do something, and then we have to go, oh, man, we can't do that anymore because the room used to be laid out this way. Any changes to the club at all as of late?
We haven't changed structurally.
Okay.
You know, we actually expanded because we have the whole sidewalk, which is now 3,000 square feet that we utilize.
Insane.
And then we extended in the back because of COVID.
Yeah.
We could go another 3,000 square feet. So now we're at like 38,000 square feet.
Oh, my God.
So
what is your adjusted capacity at any given time?
By the fire marshal?
Yeah.
By the law, Scott.
With the street. Yeah.
Okay. our occupancy is 1,800.
People.
But now you expand it now with the outside. Now we're probably at about 2,300.
It's amazing. I tell you what, but it's... We have had people, we've had professional athletes come out, Eagles players who play at the Link, and they come out and they will be there and be, oh my God.
Well, because it's 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Or even 5 a.m. when people are lined up down the street to get in for the event. All right, so here's what we're going to do. It's called the Countdown to Kenan's event. We are going to have your shot to win some Cut the Line passes, because like I said, there's a line that forms before the sun even comes up. And also a VIP table with a bucket of Coors Light and a case of Coors Light. I assume that'll be to go. And here's what you do. You can enter online. You go to the Kenan's event page at WMMR.com, which is set up now, and upload a photo of one of your favorite moments from one of our previous Kenan's events. So, you know, of course, that's Eggs with Peg, or maybe the wheel of bad haircuts, or what's in your pants, or a photo of you hanging with your friends or with us, or something like that. Anything, and you can find these online.
What's in your pants?
I know.
We've done it.
It was a lobster. There was a lobster. It was an eel. I mean,
like, we did do eels.
Hey, we've gone into chum.
At one point, we were almost this close to a tank full of piranha.
We put poop in the tank instead. But, I mean, honestly, we had a bucket of chum that we were going to put in somebody's pants. We ended up not using it, and it just rotted outside.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Scott.
Yeah. But listen, it's the magic that everyone loves. So there we go.
So you enter this, and all photo entries will be displayed in the gallery on the webpage. We'll pick a winner on May 20th. And you can win on air as well. So listen to win each Friday leading up to the event starting next week. So like I said, we will give away Cuff Line passes, a VIP table with a bucket of Coors Light to get you started, and we have a case of Coors Light as well. So you'll be good to go. And I think the special tables we're working on you'll have some room because you know how crowded it gets there, and these will be right down front. We're still working on how that's going to happen.
It's a little bit of a buffer.
You should still be cool. An exclusive little area. So we're getting the wheels turning on some of the things that we want to do and stuff to give away, and we'll have more details coming a little bit later on about that.
But just the fact that we're doing it is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, we just hope for some good weather, and then we'll be ready to rock, which is cool. Anything else to report? How's Sean doing? How's your brother doing?
Sean's doing well. Sean actually just moved to, he changed the name to Mullica Hill. It's called America Hill now.
America Hill.
He lives in America Hill now, he tells everybody.
Yeah.
He's doing well. His boys are doing great.
Okay. Yeah,
he's living life.
He'll be there?
Absolutely.
All right.
You don't have no choice. I
mean, you'll beat his ass.
You should see how the staff at Kenan's operates on that day, man. It's crazy. The barbacks, oh, my God.
Amazing.
They're hustling the whole day.
Yeah, they do a great job. A lot of guys, I've been here 23 years, that's 23rd season, we still have 11 originals.
That's really?
No. Okay.
Well, you know what? Again, we talk about the large numbers of people in attendance, but everyone gets, you know, taken care of. Everyone is safe. It's handled. Again, as President's saying, kudos to your staff that just manages to pull off this military operation, and it's great.
Yeah, are you guys hiring, by the way, for the summer?
We are.
Okay.
We had over 125 applicants so far this year, and we're still looking. We try to have about 100 employees throughout. Yeah. You know, some kids leave early now because of college. They're leaving mid-August. So we're still always looking.
All right. You know? Nice. Excellent.
And we'll do the baptism of beer, of course, which we have borrowed from Pierre Robert.
Let's do the colonoscopy of beer. Maybe that'll be
Dr. Mike might
colonoscopy of Coors Light.
Yeah, we can do that. So Coors Light is the sponsor, of course. So we thank them for continuing to be a part of this whole thing. Made to chill down the shore. Please enjoy Coors Light responsibly. But it's underway. Again, Friday, May 27th, broadcasting live at Kenan's North Wildwood, the official opening of the Jersey Shore. Thank you, Scott Keene.
Yay!
Great to see you, my man.
Always a pleasure. Can't wait to see you guys Friday morning.
On the 27th, all right. And with that, we're going to take a break because we've got a number of other guests to join us this morning. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
WMMR proudly presents the return of Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Monday, May 2nd.
Hey, everyone, we're back, so get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. It's for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. Two locations this year, Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting and David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. Make sure you have at least 12 inches, preferably 14 inches of hair to donate. And with what's left, the amazing stylist from Gravity and David Arnold Hair Salons will craft you a great new do. All donors get a gift bag of products from True Beauty Concepts. So go to PrestonandSteve.com for ponytail guidelines to ensure you have a minimum of 12 inches, but preferably 14 inches of hair to donate. Then make your appointment to join us May 2nd.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Our next guest is going to be at Punchline this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. And I believe it's his first stop in Philadelphia. So we are happy to welcome Mr. Steve Trevino.
Hey,
Thank you.
To the show. Good morning, man.
You guys are all so friendly. Like, I drove here not very friendly.
Oh, damn.
I can't hear you guys are all cool, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So am I right? Your first time in Philly?
I had come for like a quick one day type of tour thing where we came through on a Wednesday.
Okay.
But this is my first full weekend, and we're doing great, man. Saturday first show's already sold out.
Nice. Dude, and good weather. You going to take in a little bit of the city?
The whole family's here.
Okay. Oh, man, that's awesome.
My wife, my in-laws. And by the way, I always tell young married men, like, when you get married, you need to realize that you marry your wife's family.
Oh, yeah.
And your family no longer exists.
That is sage advice.
Well, yes. My in-laws come over unannounced. They just show up, and my wife couldn't be happier. My parents! Confetti out of her purse. You know? My parents show up, and she's like, oh. And I'm like, did we run out of confetti? Well, I'm happy that they're here. Well, maybe you should tell your face. Your face just kicked them out.
I've seen that dynamic. You're right. And that happens. And we were having the conversation yesterday about the classic dynamic of the husband and mother-in-law.
And the wife and mother-in-law.
And the wife and mother-in-law is a real dynamic. Real. I never had to deal with it, and our families are sort of split geographically, and some are deceased, so it made it easier. But you've got a large family, right?
We have a huge family. And I mean, I did this joke during COVID, when my son during COVID was only 3 or 4, so he was low risk. So I would take him to the grocery stores, let him lick the shopping cart. That way, when my mother-in-law came over, I could be like, hey, go hug Grandma. Grandma.
You needed a spreader.
Horrible thing to say. But, we hang out with my in-laws, and we go to eat dinner, and my wife never lets her dad pay. Oh, daddy, no, your money's no good. And I'm like, well, maybe it is.
Yeah. Let's try it out.
Let's give it a whirl.
Yeah.
You're from Portland, Texas?
I grew up in Portland, Texas, right. Me and my wife, which is weird. Town of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I moved to L.A. to pursue my comedy career. She gets a full scholarship to NYU, and her dad one day at the post office, I see him back home, and he gives me her number, and he goes, here, my daughter's going to be in L.A. Take care of her.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, I knew I was going to sleep with her. I didn't know you were going to hook it up.
Yeah. Toss her one.
Oh, my God.
But that's how old I am, by the way. He wrote it down on a piece of paper.
Right.
But we've been together ever since, man.
It's great.
I am madly in love with my wife, and I spend my time on stage making fun of her.
and now the nickname you call, it's she's the evil.
Mr. Evil or Miss Evil. What is it?
Captain Evil.
Captain Evil.
Yeah.
We've always said that to get a real legitimate nickname, you can't be the creator of it. So were you the initial applier of that?
I created it because my wife is definitely the captain of the team.
Yes.
But she's also evil.
Okay.
If I'm ever having too much fun, she will show up.
Right.
Are you smiling? Well, it's time to go. Are you happy? It's time to go.
Right.
Because I'm sick. I'm tired. I don't feel good. I hate him. I hate her. I hate this outfit. Let's go.
What about your friends? Is she okay with most of your friends or none of your friends?
Well, no. I always tell people when you get married, if your wife likes his wife, you get to hang out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Right. It does. Yeah.
But if your wife hates his wife and you love him, you're never seeing him again.
Yeah, right. Right.
That's just how it works.
It can happen.
She is in charge of our lives. Everything I do is wrong. I always tell young men, I speak wife. It is a language that you learn over years of abuse. And wife is always a suggestion. Yeah. She's going to make a suggestion that she already knows the answer to.
Right, yeah.
If I find myself on my sofa happy and comfortable, I know to prepare myself.
You do learn that there is a legitimate difference in the way we perceive statements and how guys will perceive something and how your wife might perceive something. Once you appreciate that and learn how to communicate, it's a big thing. It's getting to that point.
That's the hard part, right? Is understanding what she's really trying to say.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not just the words. It's the inflection.
It's the inflection. It's a look. It's, we got in a big fight because I go, just be direct.
Yeah.
Right? Just tell me what you want. So I had taken the TV from our bedroom. I took it outside. Why? First of all, I'm an adult.
I can do that.
I'm a grown-up, and I wanted to watch two games at the same time.
Right? Okay.
Later that night, it's time to go to bed. We're in the bedroom where the TV is not.
Right.
And all she has to say is, Steve, bring the TV that you took outside back inside.
Right.
But instead, she decides to speak wife.
Okay.
She goes, is the TV still outside? I'm like, oh, my God, you have eyes.
Yeah.
Is it in here? I go, say go get it. Say go get it. And then she goes, well, I just want to know if it's going to stay out there. Oh, my God. Say go get it.
Yes.
Say go get it.
Yes.
She goes, it's going to get ruined. I hate you. Say go get it. And then what she does that really makes me mad is right. Now she's going to pretend like she's going to go get it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How heavy is it? Stop. Like, you're going to get it in your nightgown with everything hanging out. Stop. Let me get my Crocs. By the way, she hates my Crocs. And that is exactly why I love it. Oh, dude, socks, Crocs at the grocery store, just going strong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up thinking, my dad is so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing flip-flops and socks. And now as a man, I'm just proud of him.
Yeah. Yeah. You learned. Yeah. Like this winter, I became winter shorts guy.
Oh,
I'm gonna,
nice.
Like, I'm going to wear shorts, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit to it. Because I remember years ago, and I think of my, a saint my mom was, because my dad would wear a long coat with shorts on and boots, like work boots. He looked like a flasher, yeah. Like a hardcore perv.
All you see is legs and
all
boots.
All you see is legs and boots.
And she probably hated it.
She hated it.
Steve, obviously in love with your wife, in love with your family, but traveling with them is a lot, and bringing them with you on the road is a lot. So what, and two young kids, right? So like, what's that like, bringing them to Philly, bringing them on the road?
It's impossible. It, like, right now, I went to bed last night at like 1 a.m. after my show. I'm amped up. Show. I get home, they're sound asleep, and then of course I got to be here doing radio, and then my wife's a planner. She's got a list. We got things to do. We're doing the tour. We're going to the Liberty Bell, so there's no stopping for me.
You can skip the Liberty.
Yeah. And then I'm going to do two shows tonight. Wow. And then Saturday morning it's going to be up again. We're going to the.
So what's the room arrangement? How old are your kids?
My kid, I have a 1.5-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay, wow. So you can't.
So we're in one room.
Yeah.
And then my in-laws are in another room, which I had to pay.
Right.
Because they do so much for us.
Yeah.
They do so much for us. There's no list of the stuff that they do. But they do so much for us.
Yeah. All right, so wait, what's on tap for tomorrow? So Liberty Bell today, tomorrow is?
Tomorrow we're doing the Sesame Street.
Oh.
Sesame Place.
Sesame Place.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. My daughter is in love with Elmo.
You guys will love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get your father-in-law to pay for that one, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not happening. It's not. Believe me. We go to dinner with my parents, and all of a sudden, it's separate checks.
It will cover every meal you've paid for if he just pays for this one, because it's a little pricey.
Apparently, there's a lunch with Elmo,
yeah.
And my wife was upset that we couldn't get in. Like, I guess it's a thing.
Yeah.
You have to book it in advance.
Yeah. Hopefully, Sesame Place calls and goes, "Well, Mr. Trevino." Which, by the way, I don't know about you guys, but you know, my kids live such a privileged life.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, my son, like, we're walking on the plane, and he goes, "Why are we going to the back?" And I'm like, "Because we have your grandparents. That's why.
Right.
If it was just us, we'd be in the front. But we have your grandparents, right?"
I'm not paying for first class.
We walked into Disney 2 years ago. And all of a sudden, the staff comes up to me, and they're like, "Oh, my God, Mr. Trevino, we're so happy to have you." And, you know, unlimited fast passes. And, you know, we go to the show at the end of the night for Fantasia. They hand my son a magic wand, this wand. And they go up to him, they time it perfectly, and they go, "Wave the wand and then hit this light and point it at the stage."
Right.
Well, as soon as he does that, the show starts.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, this kid is ruined. My kid's going to be that kid.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
My kid's the one at school like, "Oh, you go to Disney? Well, I start the show." And I ride Peter Pan as much as I want.
You know, we talked about that whole thing about going to those parks, and they're great, and they're expensive. Like Universal, I just did it a couple years ago. And it's awesome, but I mean, it is expensive. So we've said, if you can pay for the fast pass or the VIP, whatever you're going to do, save up and do it, because there's too much to see and too much line waiting. You'll never see everything.
You get no experience.
No experience.
You know, and it's a bummer because you want people to enjoy it. But at the same time, I have money. I would like to enjoy it better than you. It's a horrible thing to say, but we up the prices?
I saw a lot of people when we did it, because we brought the whole a large part of the family with and it was, you just see, in Preston was everyone was just kind of
who is recommending that experience would say, if you could do that, it does make a difference, especially if you want to maximize your time. I have to ask you, so when you were starting out in comedy, and we talked about, was it in Portland that you started? Did you move like...
I moved to Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, yeah, okay.
They had an improv comedy club, and I started working the door there, so that's where I started.
And were you driving the comics to do morning radio?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
And what's crazy is, you know, as you move on, you guys know, you build relationships over the years.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The guy that I used to take we had a Mikey in the Morning,
right.
was a rock show in Dallas, and I would take all the comedians, you know, and get to know them and hang out with them. Well, then Mike and Eddie moved to San Diego.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I walk in as a headliner. And they were like, oh my God, you were the dude.
Wow.
That would bring the guys to our
that's
show.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Who did you end up driving during
your... Oh my gosh, man. I mean, Mitch Hedberg, God rest his soul.
Oh, wow.
Chris Rock. I remember thinking, like, oh my God, I'm going to pick up Chris Rock. I'm going to take him to the radio. Yeah. I'm going to have a conversation with Chris Rock. He gets in my 1986 and a half Nissan pickup truck with the shifter, right, standard. Yeah, yeah. And he just puts his hat over his head, doesn't say a word to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to take this guy to radio. He's not even awake. We walk into radio, says no words to anybody, gets on the air, murders it.
Uh-huh. Right.
We leave, hat back on the face.
Yeah.
I didn't say one word to him.
Wow. It's weird. We have a great relationship with the comedians that come in here, and it's just part of the deal. And we, you know, it's because it's a free conversation. We're not, right. you know, oh, hit these points and all that sort of deal. But there are times when you have some guys, I remember, like, I think Emo Phillips from years ago came in, that sort of thing. Shut down, mic goes on. Okay, I'm performing, mic goes off, out. I mean,
right.
literally walked out while we were still on there.
I did what I was supposed to do later.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Gilbert. I mean, when we'd have Gilbert on, like, he was such
Too soon, buddy. Too soon.
No, he was one of our favorites, and we love him dearly and miss him. But when he was off air, very mild-mannered, soft-spoken,
quiet.
And then turn the microphone on, turn into the character.
I mean, I always look at it like you guys are giving me a platform and an opportunity, and I, you know, without you guys, there's no us, so...
Likewise.
I feel so appreciative when you guys give me a platform, so my attitude is when I show up at the station that I'm going to have a smile on my face, I'm going to be as friendly as possible and gracious because, man, I came from nothing, man. I lived in my car for 4 months in a Walmart parking lot, so...
Wow. I mean, if you're going to live in a parking lot, Walmart's a pretty good place, though, right?
Well, they let you. I don't know if you know this about Walmart, but Sam Walton said that for travelers, he will always welcome his parking lot, and he will keep it lit up and with cameras.
Didn't know that. Wow.
So my question for you is this, then. Where did you shower when you were doing that?
I got a gym membership.
Gym membership. Okay, that's what I...
24-hour fitness. And after a while, they're like, this guy's fat. I don't think he's working out. I think he's just using the shower.
The gym thing is actually, we know people who they have an Instagram account called Van Life. They've given up a regular locked residency, and they travel around in the van. And the gym membership is the way to go if you want to get showered.
I would walk into an LA Fitness, and I'd shower up and you know, do my thing. But, you know, I am so appreciative to... I'm in awe every day of my life right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
It is unbelievable. We live in a house that is truly a dream come true. And I just want my son and my kids to understand the sacrifice and the hard work because my dream home is normal to my kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. You know, that scares me.
Yeah.
This is the kid who runs Disney, right?
Yeah. He pretty much he starts the show.
You live in L.A. right now?
No, I live back in Texas.
Okay. All right. So where in Texas are you at now?
I live south of Austin, Texas, which is called New Braunfels,
mm-hmm.
North of San Antonio. Every time I land in Austin, I go, man, I'm almost in Texas.
It's a cool little town, though.
If I can get out of Austin.
My dad lives in Dallas, and there are people who don't even consider Dallas, you know.
Dallas is pretty bougie, man. But I grew up rural Texas.
Where's Portland in relation to Dallas?
Portland is very near Corpus Christi, Texas.
Which is beautiful. I love Corpus
Christi.
Great
town. Yeah. I grew up on the bay fishing, and I grew up driving... combines and farming,
cotton,
corn. You know, people don't like. I honestly remember moving to L.A. and all the men at night were not wearing boots, and I was like, I thought all men wore boots,
right?
Like I didn't even know.
Yeah,
because I grew up cowboy country. I mean, we rode horses. I mean, I
the real
can't get
deal.
Any more country than I grew up.
So you moved out to L.A. Did you start writing for, was it Mind of Mencia?
I started writing for Mind of Mencia and all of his jokes. But we got hired to do this show on Comedy Central, and I was like, all right, I'm going to move to L.A., and I'm going to love it, and it's going to be everything I ever wanted, and it was nothing that I wanted.
Oh, man.
You know?
Well, you know, right when you walked in, by the way, if you're just tuning in, it's Steve Trevino, who's going to be at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. There's two shows each night, and you go to punchlinephilly.com. When you came in, you started throwing the Texas thing around right away because you were talking about I needed to get a Yeti, and you said, is Yeti based out of Texas, I guess?
Yeah, Yeti's, okay. Yeti's based out of Texas.
What is it, Texas people and that ownership of, you know...
Now it's fourth grade, but when I was coming up, seventh grade, the whole year was focused on Texas history alone,
mm-hmm.
right? So you learn all this great history about right. Texas, and it just gives you a sense of pride. And I'll be honest with you, I wish the country had the same sense of pride
right.
that we have for Texas, because you come to Philadelphia and you realize, oh my gosh, Philadelphia was the beginning of this country, the beginning of democracy. That's something to be proud of.
The cradle of liberty.
You know? It's wild when you walk around and you take a tour and you realize everything... The first, you know, yeah, first is first. We just had Ken Burns on talking about the Ben Franklin series that he's done. And when you realize all that stuff, and so you the last thing you want to ever do is get blasé about all the amazing history you're surrounded by here.
You know, and I get so frustrated when people, you know, crap on our country. And it's like, do we want to be better? Yes.
Yeah.
But. We live in a pretty awesome place. I've seen the world. Yeah, I've been all over the world, and we live in an amazing place. And you got a guy like me who came from absolutely nothing who now is living the dream.
Yeah. And taking your family all over the place.
But Texas is way better than the rest of the country, right?
Absolutely.
Except for Delco.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Sam Houston said it the best. America cannot survive without Texas. Texas can survive without America.
You know, it was a mind blow. We talked about it. So I had gotten to visit my dad a number of times and then finally got to take in the Alamo. And it's funny, like, when you get here and you're walking around, you'll start to see all these things.
Right.
But the Alamo is like, you're like, oh, there's the Alamo.
In downtown.
Yeah. Right.
In the middle of the city.
I thought, oh, my God, it'll be out in the isolated.
It'll be huge. Yeah.
Yes.
Listen, right. Yeah. I was in Texas one time. And
you're welcome.
And I had to go to the Alamo. I was in Austin, and I was like, all right, where's San Antonio? I'm like, I don't care. I want to drive through Texas. I just want to see what it's like driving through. And I'm like, but I had to go to the Alamo because of Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And that's the only reason I had to
basement. There's no basement. You're aging yourself. But yes, there's no basement. But, you know, it's so crazy how many people, like in my neighborhood alone, every neighbor that has moved in is from California.
Oh, really?
And it's insane the amount of people that are coming to Texas right now. And I'm like, guys, it's closed.
No more.
We had to fake a snowstorm to keep you people out.
That was fake?
Yeah. It was all fake. Oh, it was like the moon landing.
So the wind turbines were actually working fine.
My sister-in-law moved there, and she lives in a legit tiny house. Like, they bought land.
Like on the TV series Tiny House?
Yes, and they had it delivered. It was, like, on the back of a truck. They plopped it on the land she bought, and she lives in... I mean, you can throw a ball and hit every wall in her house.
You know, I live on 12 acres.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we have plenty of land, and I have a ranch, 700 acres. And
wow.
I need it, man, because I come into the... I call it the circus.
Yeah.
I come into the circus, and it's crazy, and it's wild, and all this stuff, and then I go home, and it's peaceful.
Mm.
And chill, and I sit on my lawnmower and cut the yard.
Do you live near the Gaineses at all? From
Waco. Yeah. They're in Waco.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Nick. Do you do anything with the land other than just enjoy it, or do you grow anything? Do you raise anything?
We just moved in. I just built a chicken coop.
Okay.
We're going to do chickens. I'm going to put some longhorn cow in the back so that when people from L.A. come visit, they can be like, Trevino literally has longhorns in his back.
They're amazing creatures. Yeah, they're pretty wild.
Steve, you grew up not too far from South Padre Island. What did you think when the Spring Breakers would come in? Was it just something that was like foreign?
It was awesome when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm an old man. These people, I'm trying to go to the grocery store, and they're out of cups, you know.
I almost didn't make it back from South Padre. Like, that was like a scary spring break trip
it's
for me.
It's pretty gangster. Yeah. And for a Philly person to be like, I was scared.
Right.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah. So here's a little bit of history. My father-in-law, his brother invented the genre Tejano music.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
So Selena used to open for him.
Wow. So dude, that's amazing.
I have this amazing picture of my father-in-law and Selena and my wife and Selena.
Whoa.
It's on my Instagram. If you scroll down,
wow.
You will see Selena with my wife And my father-in-law looks like an 80s drug dealer, which, which he was.
So, that's
not the profile.
Damn,
no, that's pretty damn cool, man.
And, wow. So we grew up near Corpus Christi, which is where Selena was from, you know.
Right, right.
I'm just hoping to have a statue of me behind her.
Yeah. You know, it's okay to be the statue behind Selena. Yeah.
Someday. Keep it up, Steve, and you'll get there. Well, listen, we want to thank you for coming by, and we're going to remind people that there are two shows both nights, tonight and tomorrow night, at Punchline, where you can check out Steve Trevino. 7:30 and 9:45. Get the tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Dude, have a great time while you're in town.
Man, thanks for having me. I love this town. We went to Rivers Casino, watched people try to pay their bills on the craps table. I don't know how you spend $2,000 on the craps table and have no teeth.
Welcome to Philly.
Welcome to Philly. Steve Trevino, guys. Yeah. Thank you. All right, real quick, before we wrap completely, I need to go to this call. I have Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston, Steve.
Sandy, you have an announcement for everyone, right?
I do.
What is it?
I won $500.
She did it! She did it! And not only that, some tickets to the MMRBQ. And Sandy, what were you going to say?
I said, I can't wait, because actually my daughter and I were talking about it, and she asked me to get a concert T-shirt for every band playing, because my husband and I have been saying we want to go.
Ah.
I was like, well, Samantha, that's going to cost like $500. I can't do that.
Perfect. Perfect.
I got $500.
You get the shirt and the tickets, the $500 shirt. Congratulations. That's awesome, Sandy.
God, I love you guys. I listen to every single one of you. My MMR does not leave my station. I listen to you guys. I listen to Pierre. I listen to Jackson. I listen to Jackie. I listen to Brent. The station is absolutely amazing.
Sandy,
and, wait a second. And Kathy gets points.
Bucks Co. You want points for Bucks Co? All right,
Sandy.
We'll have to see if we can do that. Well, listen, we're all going to be hanging out at the MMRBQ, Sandy, so we will see you there, all right?
Oh, my God, I can't wait to see you guys. You guys have a wonderful Friday.
You too. Congratulations. That's it for Sandy.
She's awesome.
Next Time to Win is coming up at 10. We're roughly an hour away from that, all right, friends? Right. We're going to take a quick break. It's brought to you by AAA Distributor. Mind you, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. When we return, we are going to have in our studio Cindy Williams, and then we're going to talk to Gary Sinise as well. So stay put. We'll be back in a moment.
I got to get my beard done like the great Pierre.
The metal god meets the good citizen on WMMR.com. See Pierre Robert's conversation with Rob Halford of Judas Priest, plus photos from their show from the Met Philadelphia. Click Studio Z.
There is a show that is opening at the Bucks County Playhouse tomorrow, and it is called Me, Myself, and Shirley, a one-woman show. And we have two people that we're going to welcome. First, the star of that show. Please give some love to a friend of ours. Cindy Williams is here this morning. We got to play a little bit of the theme song, of course, to set the stage. And we also want to welcome the producing director of Bucks County Playhouse, Alex Frazier.
Thank you.
How you doing, Alex?
I'm great.
Nice to see you. All right, so Shirley, welcome back to Philadelphia.
It's Cindy. Great to be here.
Cindy.
I answered
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I was thinking
don't
it.
Don't be sorry. Don't be silly.
How often do you get that people will call you Shirley?
Just last night when I was checking into the hotel.
Oh, really?
I said, fine. Whoever, just where's my room?
Right. you were that character, Shirley Feeney.
Yeah,
and I was just
legendary
telling,
character.
I was telling Steve before you came in here. There's so many funny moments surrounding Laverne and Shirley, but your debut on Happy Days, the scene where you punch Ron Howard in the face is just hilarious. It is just a scream.
You know, I just saw Ron recently, and he always brings that up because
really?
He's so proud of that for some reason. And we just did it once. I've got that little clip in the show. You'll be happy to
excellent.
Know, Preston. Yes.
Excellent.
The show is we're thrilled by this concept because you were just absolutely one of our favorite guests the last time you were in, and recounting your pop culture history, which is voluminous. So is this, has
luminous.
This, yes.
I like it. Thank you.
Has this been in the works for a while? Have you performed this before? Or will this be the debut of the show?
No, I've been performing it for about a year now, on and off, you know, right after COVID and the audience, masked, unmasked audiences, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's, you know, and it, as we review your history, and I mean, you were part of the what is called the second golden age of Hollywood in the 70s with, you were in American Graffiti and you were at The Conversation, a Francis Ford Coppola movie, and you were in that group with Harrison Ford and George and all those people. And then you had a second television massive successful career. And I was looking at, like, you know, ratings numbers and how many eyes were on Laverne and Shirley on any given week in the multi millions. You have a lot to talk about.
I'm so impressed by me. Yeah. Thank you for that, Steve.
You are impressive.
Well, you know what I have in the show that I really love that I had forgotten to mention to people? I have my screen test from for Star Wars for Princess Leia.
Okay, so I wanted to bring that up.
They all just sat up.
Wow.
No, because I wanted to bring that up because Nick had mentioned that the chair you're sitting in right now, he had lifted Kenny Baker into that chair. And I was...
He played R2-D2.
He played R2-D2. And I immediately thought of watching your screen test for Princess Leia. And
I have seen
it. As a matter of fact, I have. And I wanted to bring that up. And I wanted to ask you about... That and actually not getting that part, because it's, you know, it would be sort of synonymous of thinking of Carrie Fisher as Shirley. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It just doesn't really. But not getting that part. I talk about that in the show because they brought everybody in to screen test, and nobody knew what the words meant. You know, what's an R2-D2? I'm sorry. But, George really, he tried to explain it to us, nobody got it. What's a C-3PO? So we didn't know who we were talking to. This is one hideous screen test.
Right.
But I'm happy to send it up.
So people can see that at the show.
Yes, please come on down to Bucks County Playhouse and see my screen test for Princess Leia.
So it's a multimedia presentation?
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
Yes.
All right. So
no puppets, though.
No, no puppets. Well, there's so much to talk, so I'm going to take the Star Wars tact here a little bit as you were explaining. The word was that people even like Alec Guinness they were in Tunisia filming, and they'd be like, what is this piece of crap that no one had any anticipation. So when it releases and becomes this big hit, you were doing well, but do you have a classic actor moment where you're like, damn it.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I had a dream after the screen test. Well, first of all, let me back up.
Yeah.
During American Graffiti, which George Lucas, that was his first studio film.
Right.
He was telling us on the last day of shooting about this little movie he was going to do next. He was telling Ron Howard, Paul LaMatt, myself, and who else was standing around?
Harrison?
Maybe it was Harrison. But... he was talking about this movie he had written that he hoped to direct next. And he said, it's about teenagers in outer space saving the galaxy. And then he looked at all of us and he said, you could all be... Oh, it was Charlie Martin Smith.
Oh, okay.
And he said, you could all be in it. And I thought, teenagers in outer space saving the galaxy? That'll never happen. And so then... When I was doing Laverne and Shirley, when I did the, they called me in for the screen test for Princess Leia, and then I really wanted the part for some reason because I wanted to work with George again and everybody, and even though I understood none of it, but I had this dream, and the dream was, and I knew Carrie had tested for that. Carrie was up for it. But I dreamed that there was, George and I were standing watching this little girl play, this younger girl play with dolls.
Right.
She had all these dolls she was playing with. And when I woke up from the dream, I realized he's going to go with a younger actress. And lo and behold, Carrie.
But how much younger is she than you?
Oh, she's I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
But it, at least 10 years. And let's see, she was 18 or 19.
Okay.
When
so
she did
20s.
It, and I was 20-something. I don't know. We can do the math later.
Well, no, so it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting that the premise was that these teenagers are going to go save the galaxy, because I watched it as a child, and I didn't see them as teenagers. I saw them as adults.
Yeah.
So that's pretty wild.
Right. Well, his whole idea that he always wanted them to be like 14, 15.
Oh,
that's
even
how
young?
He
okay.
explained it to us. He also explained American Graffiti to Ron Howard and myself before we did it as a musical. He saw it as a musical.
Okay. It sort of is.
It is.
Wolfman Jack provides the music, and the music is running throughout it. It is. We've just talked about American Graffiti recently. It is such an amazing masterpiece that still speaks. All your performances just resonate as so true. What was it shot in Petaluma?
Yes.
Right. So
Sam Rafael till they kicked us out because of the noise.
The noise.
Night. Yeah, because we shot it all at night.
I mean, there were people, and I remember when that movie came out and I saw it in the theater, there were people crying from a sheer sense of nostalgia. And just because it connected to it addresses all that pivotal point in your life. What do I do next? I'm graduating. What's next? And it's multiple stories. Any memories of that movie? Because as the legend goes, you do these long scenes throughout the night, because it takes place primarily at night. And George Lucas would constantly fall asleep while directing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he would go from, pardon me, we shot from 6 at night to 6 in the morning, because it all takes place in one night. And he would go from the set into San Francisco to the editing bay and edit all day.
Wow.
And then come back and direct at night, because it was shot in 28 nights in one morning.
Wow. And that's a crazy schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the word was that the people of the town sort of got into it as well, and had brought out their own classic cars, and because it takes place in the 50s.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. No, it takes place in 1962. Where were you in 62?
Right, that's it, right,
yes,
yeah.
In 62, and it was a time of innocence.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the president had been assassinated, President Kennedy, and just that wonderful time of innocence. And it was a coming-of-age movie, essentially, that followed three... It followed three different storylines.
Do you like the way that more American Graffiti turned out, the sequel? Because you are married to Ron Howard in that movie, and it's some people are split on it. I thought they tried something interesting.
It was again, you know, three storylines, and all took place on New Year's Eve, but different years,
right?
Which was a great concept, but it was a lot of fun, and. Just a different era, a different feeling on the set, certainly.
It's during Vietnam at that point, right?
Correct.
If you're just tuning in, Cindy Williams is going to be performing at the Bucks County Playhouse. And the show is called Me, Myself, and Shirley, a one-woman show. And you're going to cover, you know, your history in the acting. Did I read correctly that you started in high school with Sally Fields?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys go to the same school?
We were in Birmingham High School together, and we were both in the theater arts department. I touched this a tiny bit in the show, and you know, we did plays together.
Wow!
Yeah, she was such a fabulous actress at the age of 14, 15, however old we were. I remember one day she turned to me and she goes, "You know, you're funny, but I can't cry like you on stage. I wish I could."
Her dad was a famous stuntman, was he not?
No, he was an actor, wasn't he, Tom? Somebody Google that.
Okay, yeah.
We don't want to get it wrong, but she was... Fabulous actress, always,
well,
always.
The show has, obviously, you have the career points, but you are also a spectator to pop culture yourself, and you have, because you had the book Shirley I Jest, which is sort of a recounting of that. Does some of that stuff work its way into the show as well? Because you encountered a lot of, you know, giants in the industry.
A couple of stories, like what all of you would like, I worked as a cocktail waitress at the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard during the 60s, and Jim Morrison was my first customer.
What?
But they had set me up. It was a joke. They had given, on my first night waiting tables, they said, that's your section. I go, the VIP section? Are you kidding me? Mick Jagger sat in that booth. So they said, there's your first customers. And this guy had his back to me, and there were two girls with him, very pretty girls. And I went up and I said, what will you have to one of the girls? And she said, I'll have a Tom Collins. And the other girl said, I'll have a Tom Collins. And I hadn't seen this guy yet. And I turned to him and I said, and you, sir? And there in this angelic light, this beam from heaven, was Jim Morrison. And I was just like, and he ordered a bottle of Jack at the table. That's what he wanted. And I thought in the back of my head, wait, didn't they tell me during the rules, you know, reading the rules to me that you're not supposed to bring a bottle to the table, but this is Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
So I run over and I put my ticket in and I'm about to leave. And the bartender, Tony, says, wait, you, new girl, what is this? Two Tom Collins and a bottle of Jack? And I go, yeah. And he goes, wait, is Morrison in the club? And I said, yes, Jim Morrison is in the club. And he goes, you go back and you tell that so-and-so. He knows perfectly well that I cannot serve him, nor can you, a bottle of Jack at the table. He can have a single or a double, but no bottle of Jack. And I'm thinking, I can't tell Jim Morrison. And so I go back. And I say, I'm very sorry, Mr. Morrison, but I can serve you a double or a single at the table, but no bottle of Jack. And he says to me, is Tony Pendy Bar? And I said, yes. And he said, well, you go back and you tell that so-and-so that I have had a bottle of Jack on the table before, and I demand a bottle of Jack on the table tonight. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I can't tell. So I go back and forth. This goes back and forth until I'm in tears. And I finally say to him, to Jim Morrison, and I say, I'm so sorry. I'll buy you a double. And he asks me my name. He takes my hand and asks me my name. And I say, Cindy. And I'm crying. Yeah. And he says, well, Miss Cindy, just bring me a double. We're just playing with you. And I look around. And this had gone on for 10 minutes. In the meantime, these men had ordered zombies. And later on, they asked me to light them because it's triple liquor. And if they... Anyway, my...
what a memory, man.
It was fabulous.
That's Cindy,
that's awesome.
You're a big music fan. Bob Dylan is your number one. Is he your number one fascination musically?
Actually, that's... Yes.
Yeah.
That would be true.
And you got to meet him at... was it at a Springsteen?
You did read the book, didn't you, Steve?
So and that's a cool story. But I love people that... Because we look up to and idolize and enjoy your work. We like to hear what people that we are fans of, how their fandom manifests. So we like to see people, you know, was that a moment in time that you're backstage and there he is? Recount that story if you would.
Oh, gee. Well, I'd been invited to a Bruce Springsteen concert, and the whole crew had come down to watch a rehearsal of Laverne and Shirley. And so they invited Penny and me to go and see the Bruce Springsteen, you know, the show. And so...
He was called the next Bob Dylan when he came on the scene. Springsteen.
I guess so. Yeah. I was always fascinated by his boots.
Right.
For some reason. And how he moved in his boots. But anyway, so after the show, they took us back to the Inner Sanctum. And it was me and Penny and Carrie were there. And I saw them backstage. And they said, we're looking for Dylan. Dylan's around. We're looking for... And they ran off. So anyway, I get this tap on the shoulder. They take me really backstage, and they put me in a room, and I'm all alone. Well, I have my friend Kathleen there, and I'm all alone in the room except for Kathleen and Bob Dylan.
Wow.
And I see Bob Dylan, and I'm thinking, what am I going to... And he's smiling at me, and he says, nods and says hello, and... Again, a shaft of light over him. And I'm just thinking, the Bard.
Did he lean in and say, I love Boo Boo Kitty?
Stevie Nicks came in next and said that exact. Did you read the book?
No, I did not.
So anyway, here's what I came up with. Did you have good seats?
And yes, Bob Dylan.
Holy crud. What did I just say? Meanwhile, Kathleen had fainted.
Yeah.
She went, she fainted.
She fainted.
No kidding. Into this clothes rack thing. Yeah. And then Bob Dylan was taken in to meet Bruce Springsteen. And then that's when Stevie Nicks came in and she said, oh, and she looked at me and she goes, oh, Boo Boo Kitty. I love it.
That's so great.
Wow. And
I mean, these are great moments.
These are, you know, yeah. I wish I could take everyone in the world with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I wish I could take everyone with me on those adventures because it, just like you would imagine they were, they're that and so much more. And
You're taking people along with this show as well.
Yeah.
And these
we're getting a chance. You know?
Am I?
Yeah.
It's not as good as actually being in the room with Bob Dylan.
All right.
But I love to this day, you're still embarrassed about the question you asked Bob Dylan. I once asked Dave Matthews if he'd been to all 50 states.
That was all I could come up with.
I thought it was something that was like, hey, I'll start a conversation with Dave Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, right.
You know?
Exactly.
And so you're asking Bob Dylan about the great seats that he had, and it's just, you're frozen. And so here you are, however many years later, still thinking about that very question.
It's such a thing to connect to because we all have those moments, and we're all in those moments, and that you know, someone you idolize. Gee, I wonder if he has access to good seats.
Yeah. It's so human, though.
Yeah.
And what is Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
He's human.
Yeah.
Right. You know. So, anyway, it was a thrill.
I wanted to ask Cindy, on Laverne and Shirley, and some people may not remember what great physical comedy you guys did on that show. And there was a lot of big gags that were physically you guys jumping around and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Anybody ever get hurt on the set stuff like that?
I have a Q&A after the show, and I that's always the second question.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it's hard to believe you didn't with all the stuff you're doing.
Well, we got bruised, the occasional bruise here and there, but one time Penny was up on cables, and I wasn't doing this particular episode, and she... The cable broke, and you know, on the soundstage, it's made of cement. And then if they want to build a stage on top of that, then they'll build a wooden floor.
Right.
But on this particular episode, it was cement, and so she fell and hurt herself and had to be carted off to the hospital.
Jeez.
And I never heard the end of that story. It was like my operation. Let me tell you about it.
Oh, that's funny. So, also in the studio with us, like I said, Alex Fraser, producing director of Bucks County Playhouse, and Cindy just patted him on the knee saying, they'll get to you in a moment. Sorry, we just have all these questions.
It's so much fun to be here with you.
I listen to her talk forever.
You need to travel with someone we love less, and then you can talk.
Exactly. No way.
And so are you, how is this working the show with her at Bucks County Playhouse?
Well, I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet, and we've spent the last 2 years, because we haven't been able to produce, bringing shows in. And it's been a thrill because we had Wynton Marsalis and we had Mary Lou Henner and Candace Bushnell and now Cindy Williams. And it's been great to have people, of course, that we've idolized our whole lives. It's been a real thrill.
In this forum, to have to be allowed a Q&A and so on and so forth. If you're talking about, you're going to nostalgically hear things that are going to, like these stories we're hearing now, and then the chance to interact. That means a lot to so many people. The theater's great. We love it. The location's great. The whole thing is a solid. And these, do you think we're going to start to see more and more of these type of shows where celebrities come in and recount, you know, one person shows, because people seem to respond very well to them.
I hope so. We're actually going to start producing. We're producing right now for the first time in 3 years. We've got 5 shows that we're working on right now. That first one opens to the end of May, and we run till the end of the year. So it'll be a big deal for us coming out of, you know, 3 years of hiding.
Yes.
And the theater's so fantastic there. And it's such a fun town, such a fun place to go. So beautiful and just lots of fun.
Yeah. And the shows are only going to be this weekend, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Saturday matinee and, an evening performance and Sunday matinee. But we're up against the, what is it, Alex? The Shad?
Shad Fest.
Oh, Shad Fest is this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we're up against the fishing contest.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome for you guys.
Yeah, and I love Shad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
May I
might not show up for that Sunday afternoon performance.
We could
probably
do both,
by the
right?
river.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Shad loses to Cindy Williams. I'm sorry.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank
Listen,
you, gentlemen.
It is such a delight to see you again. And we love the fact that you, that I'd heard that you wanted to come by our show
yes,
when you're
I
in
did.
Town. And you're welcome.
I asked
anytime. We've only scratched the surface and we can do some more. We do have another guest that we have to get to right now. Do you know Gary Sinise?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be joining us here in just a second as well.
Oh, so. I love Gary
Sinise. He's on via Zoom, so we're going to get him on in just a moment. I'm sure he loves Cindy Williams as
ask
well.
Him if he has
he
a one-man
everybody.
Show.
We'll ask him if he's got a one-man
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
But it's great to see you again, Cindy.
Great to see you all
Have a great
again.
Time here in our area. So, once again, it's at the Bucks County Playhouse. Me, myself, and Shirley, a one-woman show this weekend.
See
you
it.
Can get tickets at, is it buckscountyplayhouse.com?
.org.
Okay. .org. Thank you very much. Get those tickets. Thank you, Cindy Williams, for being
Thank
here this
you.
Morning.
Yeah. Steve,
great
Kathy,
to see you.
Nick and Casey. And Alex.
And Alex, absolutely. All right. With all that, we have another great guest who is set to go. He's going to be joining us, like I said, via Zoom. Is he ready to go now? No, he's not ready to go
all
now.
Right.
I was told he was ready to go now.
Oh.
And I've just been waved off. So Marissa is... 1 minute or something like that? I don't know.
All
I have
right.
no idea.
Wait,
yeah.
you never worked with him, did you, Cindy? You worked with no. Gary Sinise?
No. I met him once. He's a great guy.
He's amazing.
Guy.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Just fantastic. And a wonderful actor.
He is. And he recently did a donation to a local fire company. And that's part of the reason why we're going to have him on here
right,
in just a second,
because
we had heard about that. But he's like, as you said, Stevie walks the walk.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and that's important. It's easy to post something on social media, but he is, so much of his year is involved with helping people, and he does it all the time. It's great. So we're waiting for him?
Is yeah, that, yeah. I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like Marissa is actually conversing with him over, right. over Zoom. Just,
so
you know, he's in the waiting room. Yeah.
In all this right. segment.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'll mention something
right.
Kill some time here while we're waiting for Gary, because we made this announcement just a little while ago. We are returning to the Jersey Shore for the official opening of the Jersey Shore, the live broadcast.
Can you believe it?
Kenan's in North Wildwood will be taking place Friday, May 27th. We will be broadcasting live once again. It's presented by Coors Light. And we're going to be doing something called the Countdown to Kenan's. And we have your shot to win a couple line passes and a VIP table with a bucket of Coors Light and a case of Coors Light for you to take with you as well. And you can go to WMMR.com and get the details. Part of it is uploading a photo from previous times at Eggs with Peg, or maybe you can listen on air and have a chance to win that way, too. So it is all good. So, like I said, WMMR.com to get all of the details and to find out how you can do it. But it's on, man. I've had a lot of people emailing over the past few weeks. Is it happening? Is Kenan's going to go on?
It's full-blown and then some, because it's now expanded at a whole new level. So
yep.
It should be pretty cool.
All right, and then the other thing that I want to make mention of is we now have some details on how you can be a part of the newly announced Preston and Steve side stage
mm-hmm.
at the MMRBQ, and you could end up being a lead singer for a song on stage at the MMRBQ.
With a live band, not yep. just some sort of boombox.
Yep, so it's Sidearm is the name of the band. They pretty much play everything. And we're going to have 10 slots for singers to actually perform on stage with us. So we are psyched about that. And you go to WMMR.com. And what you're going to have to do is get the information. There's a list of songs, and you need to perform a song, post it on social media, tag it, hashtag it with MMRBQ, and we're going to choose 10 people to perform. And, of course, Froggy's going to be playing
yes.
live as well. All right, we good to go?
Yes, sir.
We're good to go. Our next guest, he's got a band, too.
Yes.
Yeah. We've talked to him about it on a few occasions, the Lieutenant Dan Band.
Which is awesome.
The reason that he came on our radar most recently was I had seen a donation that he did to a New Jersey fire company. And it was a really cool thing, and it's part of what the Gary Sinise Foundation does. So we would like to welcome Mr. Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
This morning. Morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. By the way, we just had in our studio, she just had to leave, Cindy Williams from Laverne and Shirley loves you. She said to tell you hello. She was just here a moment ago, and she was going on and on about what a great person and actor you are.
Oh, my goodness. What a sweet person.
She is. She's a doll. We are so excited to talk to you, Gary. And the phrase that we've been using all morning is that you walk the walk and you become so passionate about first responders and the military. And I don't think people realize that you're working on stuff that is involved with your own charity and other charities like this year round. And I mean, you when did you first get consumed with this? This commitment to all these causes because you're so passionate about it.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. Hello, everybody. Well, I mean, the seeds were planted many years ago. I have a lot of veterans in my family, so it starts there. World War II veterans. I've got my grandfather served in the Army in World War I. My dad was in the Navy during Korea.
Wow.
Vietnam veterans on my wife's side, so a lot of veterans there. And then got involved, very involved with veterans in the 80s in the Chicago area. I had a theater company, and I got involved with supporting Vietnam veterans. Then I played the Vietnam veteran in Forrest Gump, and he was a wounded veteran, of course. So I really got involved with the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, back in the 90s. And then after September 11th, I was just teed up to do something and didn't want to just sit back and do nothing. My heart was breaking over that terrible, terrible event. And we were starting to deploy to Afghanistan and Iraq shortly after that. And I just wanted to be a part of helping the men and women who were serving our country. So I started volunteering, and then it all turned into the Gary Sinise Foundation.
So, and it's also spread out beyond, like Steve had said, beyond military, but also first responders. And so you were a gentleman, Vincent Fire Chief Scott Mitchell had reached out to you, wrote a letter, and it was very practical in nature in that they just needed some equipment, some very specific equipment. And how does that, I could imagine these requests are coming in left and right from all over the place, and it's got to be tough to manage. But you got right back to him personally, correct?
I'll tell you, speaking of September 11th, that's where all the first responder support started for me. I got involved with the FDNY after that terrible event and supporting them. You know, they lost 343 firefighters there, 417 first responders in total, and I started volunteering to support them. I actually I was on my first trip to Iraq in 2003, and I sat down next to a gentleman who was wearing a button on his shirt, and it had a picture of a firefighter and a police officer on it. And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Those are my sons. They were both killed on September 11th.
Right.
And his name is John Vigiano. He was a legendary firefighter in New York, served with the Marine Corps, and we became fast friends. And he introduced me to the FDNY, and I started supporting them in different ways and helping to. There's a memorial on Coney Island at the ballpark there on the side of the wall. It's called the Brooklyn Wall of Remembrance. And I helped to raise the money to build that back in 2007. And just all of the first responder work I was doing to support prior to my foundation just sort of manifested itself into the creation of our first responder outreach at the Gary Sinise Foundation. And so now we're supporting departments all over the country. I mean, when you think about it, most of the departments in this country are volunteers.
Yeah.
The guy works at the shoe store, and at night he goes and sits in the firehouse. And these departments do not have a lot of resources. They do not have a lot of equipment. The local town administration doesn't have a huge budget to support the firefighters. So they reach out to us all over the country and ask us for different pieces of equipment, grants, whatever. We're supplying equipment and grants all over the country to support these local fire departments. They're out there trying to save lives. We want to help them do that.
You know, it's so I have law enforcement in the family, and my father, he just recorded hours of his life prior to us being aware of our lives as we were being raised by him. And he was over in Italy during World War II. And it just occurs to me, whether they be first responders or military, there's something special in these people who will do it all for you. It makes me get choked up because it is such a unique quality that these are the people, when all hell is breaking loose and people are running away, these are the ones running towards. And there's something special that always has to be cherished and celebrated. So the work you're doing is doing that, and we commend you for that.
Thank you. Well, I've been inspired by, so many people over the years that I've met that are exactly that. They don't have to serve, yet they do. They don't have to run into those buildings, yet they do, for people they don't know. We have our military out there on the front lines. They go where they're told, and sometimes they get hurt. Sometimes their families lose them. And I feel like the freedom that they provide and the security that our first responders provide, that there is some way that I can be of service to backing them up in a way. And I've been privileged. I've had a great career, blessed in so many ways. And I just wanted to do something to support in as many ways as possible. And now we have the support of thousands and thousands of donors who go to GarySinisFoundation.org. They donate so that we can do good things like helping that department there in Pennsylvania.
Gary, we live in such politically divisive times, and there are so many things that don't unite us. But if you can't honor the veterans and first responders and people who have served for this country, I don't know what would unite us. But, that's such a unifying and good feeling. I'm wondering if you've spent any time or have worked with John Stewart at all. He's been doing a lot of work with victims of burn pits and veterans returning from Afghanistan and Iraq and trying to help them get the medical care that they need.
I've done a few events with John over the years. We've met. First time we met, I went on his TV show when he had his TV show years ago. And he interviewed me about something I was doing, some movie or something. But we've run into each other at a couple of events. We did something at West Point together years ago. He's supported the USO, and I've been involved with them for many, many years. He's fighting the good fight there for when he needs to get in front of Congress to get their attention, and I admire him for that.
Well, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about your career. You just mentioned it, and I happened to watch Of Mice and Men, your version, which is, I think, is just a sensational, fantastic film. It just kills me every time. It's brilliant. And you also did Grapes of Wrath on stage, and John Steinbeck seems to speak to you, in a way that speaks to a lot of people, because it's, I think Steinbeck captures a lot of what the American spirit is. Is that how you connect to that, to those works and to his work in general?
Steinbeck was, Of Mice and Men was almost my introduction to literature. I was not somebody, I was academically challenged as a youngster. didn't pay much attention until I got into the theater department in my high school. And then I wanted to kind of learn more. And our teacher there took us to see a production of Of Mice and Men when I was about 16 years old. And I didn't know anything about it, didn't know the book, didn't know anything. And it really introduced me to literature. I went and read the book after that, then The Grapes of Wrath. And Steinbeck really was kind of the author that I was paying attention to as a youngster. So when the opportunities came along at my theater company, Steppenwolf Theater, to do Of Mice and Men, we did it in 1980. We did a production of The Grapes of Wrath. We adapted that for the stage. It won the Tony Award in 1990. And then when I was standing on the stage on Broadway, we were shooting it for PBS. Mm-hmm. We closed it after 6 months, and now we brought the cameras in. We were shooting it. I was standing there with Elaine Steinbeck, John Steinbeck's widow, and she was a big fan of the play. And I was standing there with her, and I said, would you give me the rights to make Of Mice and Men into a movie? Hmm. And she said, well, honey, it's already been a film, like three times. I said, well, I think I could do a good job with it. What do you say? And she gave me the rights actually for free for 1 year. And so my deal with her was if I could set the movie up, I would get the studio to pay her, which is exactly what we did. I went to MGM and they bought it and they paid her for the rights to make a movie out of it. And 1 year later, we were making a movie of A Mice and Men. So Steinbeck is a favorite, and I was privileged to work on a couple of great pieces of his.
Well, I have to tell you, it rocks my world every time I watch it. John Malkovich, everyone. And Ray Walston is great in it as well. There's so many scenes in that movie, and your directing is... it's weird to fanboy on Of Mice and Men, but I am. It was just such a brilliant work, and you deserve all the credit for it.
Well, thank you. That was one of the favorite things I've worked on because I produced it and directed it and got to be in it.
I'll fanboy in another film for a moment because yesterday we had a conversation, Gary, about the movie that you may have seen beginning to end more than any others. And the movie that I mentioned was Apollo 13 because anytime, and it runs quite a bit on various channels, anytime it comes on, I find myself sucked into it and I will sit down and I'll watch the whole thing. I'm fascinated by the engineering that took place behind the space program. So Tom Hanks's, From the Earth to the Moon was an incredible series that I fell in love with as well. But you as Ken Mattingly, I was curious about a practical question about that film. Since Ken didn't go to space, did you, as an actor, get to spend time in the Vomit Comet in preparation for that? Because I know none of the scenes you shot were in that, but did you get to ride in it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
We all went up. It was a really fun movie to work on because we did some cool things. We went to space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. And we went down to Houston. I went to watch the shuttle go up in Florida. So we got to do some really cool things. And one of those was go up in the KC-135 training plane, which is the airplane. It'll go up to, 42,000 feet and then it'll drop. It just starts heading toward the Earth. And during the 25 seconds that you're crashing down toward the Earth, everything inside the plane just floats and you get 25 seconds of zero gravity. And we got to do that. And then Ron Howard decided to put the set in there and shoot in there.
It's amazing.
And with people now taking these little space trips, does that hold any fascination to you at all?
You mean actor in space?
No. I mean like
Jeff Bezos,
Blue Horizon, and SpaceX and all that stuff, taking passengers up for rides.
I think Tom Hanks should be the actor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shoot him up there.
Gary, I have a fanboy question because I think the movie Ransom is underrated. Your performance in that and Mel Gibson, Rene Russo, it's a really great movie and it sort of flies under the radar. Do you have any particular memories of doing the movie Ransom?
Yeah, well, I did. So almost, I think it was nearly back-to-back movies I did Apollo 13 with Ron Howard, and then his next movie was Ransom. And so we had a great time on Apollo 13, and he offered me the part of Jimmy Shaker in Ransom. And I remember turning it down at first. I was just like, I had very young children. This is a movie about a kidnapper. And I had very young children at the time. And when I read the movie, I just absolutely hated the character Ron asking me to play. I just hated the guy. And he was written a little older than I was at that time. So I just wasn't seeing myself doing it. And then I started to regret that I had turned the movie down. I said no to Ron Howard. Mel Gibson's going to be in this movie. Well, how did I do that? So I was thinking about it, but, I'd already said no. And then I bumped into the producer, Ron's partner, Brian Grazer. We were at a little Halloween parade with our children, and they were going to the same school or something. And I saw Brian. And he said hi, and I said, "Hey, Brian, how's it going? Whatever happened to casting that part in Ransom?" And he said, "Well, we haven't really done that yet. We're about to offer it to somebody." And I said, "He said why?" Well, do you think I could talk to Ron again about it? And, you know, within 15 minutes of me getting home that day, Ron Howard was on the phone calling. He said, Brian told me to call you. Are you reconsidering? And I said, well, Ron, yes, I am. And next thing I know, I had Ransom. And it ended up being a, you know, playing a villain like that is actually, you know, you get to dominate the movie so much and you're tormenting the lead character throughout the whole film. And then, of course, you pay for all that at the end. And that's exactly what I did.
It's an atypical role. And it was wild to see you, you know, have fun tearing at it because it's not the way we're used to seeing you. But a lot of your characters go through transitions. That one did not. He was a prick all the way to the end.
He was just psychotic, yeah.
Well, juxtaposed with the awesome things that you do with the Gary Sinise Foundation, you've covered all the bases, and we love any chance we get an opportunity to talk to you, Gary, and we want to thank you for helping, you know, not only some EMTs and first responders here locally, but what the Gary Sinise Foundation does nationwide. If people do want to support Gary Sinise Foundation, what is the easiest way to go about that?
The first thing I would do is go to GarySinisFoundation.org.
Okay.
Check out the website. Look at the programs. Go to the YouTube channel. There's dozens of videos that show us in action and show the people that we're trying to help. We have many, many great sponsors and partners, thousands of donors. Sunbelt Rentals is one of our great supporters. Cool. They do a ton of great work with us. Very, very supportive. We have a lot of great corporate sponsors, and we can always use more because we're always trying to do more.
I love it.
We'll continue to do that.
Excellent. Keep up the great work. Gary, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Gary Sinise. Yeah!
Damn.
I'm telling you, he's something else, man.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, he's so good.
We have
pages of stuff we can talk to him about, but I mean, we opened the door.
Yeah, and shout out to Sunbelt. That was really cool for him to bring them up. That's sort of where this connection began, and so they're going to help us out at Camp Out for Hunger this year, too. So it's really cool to have that connection.
Oh, they're terrific.
From us to Sunbelt to Gary Sinise and back again.
Love it. All right, guys, to try and stay on time, we need to take a break because we got money and tickets to give away. MMR's Concert Cash is coming up when we return Bizarre File 2. Stay right there.
WMMR recognizes Record Store Day.
So that's it, Warren? Want to work at a record store?
No.
I think you're lying, Warren.
To all the small businesses, the mom and pops, the brick and mortars, as AC/DC once said, we salute you. It's the passionate purveyors of music who sell the music you collect, share, and hold in your hand that we celebrate on Record Store Day. Listen each hour this Saturday as MR cues up a track from our record collection on the trusty turntable in the Pierre Robert studio.
Oh, dear.
Plus, we'll have your chance to score the latest from Dorothy on vinyl to add to your collection from the station that crackles along with the grooves. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
MMR's Concert Cash.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
All right, the word we're giving to you today is safe, S-A-F-E. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. There are three ways to do it. Text into the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and all MMR winners receive 2 free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners will get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com, and it's sponsored by AAA Distributor. So the word again is safe, S-A-F-E. Good luck.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Mulch Works of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil that's manufactured on-site, delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. You can visit mulchthis.com. 2 men fatally struck by a train on an elevated subway or on elevated subway tracks in Brooklyn early Wednesday are believed to be graffiti taggers from France.
Wow. Came all this way to get hit by a train.
A train operator on the East New York bound number 3 train saw the mangled bodies as he pulled into the Sutter Avenue Rutland Road station. The men were already dead, apparently struck by an earlier train. They had spray paint cans on them when they were struck. Police were working to identify the two men who had French passports on them and determine how they came to be struck.
So are their tags like curse words written in French?
I don't know.
Like mayor?
Nailed. hundreds of... That's the only curse word I know in French. Nick, do you know any others?
Va te fuir!
Say it again.
Va te fuir.
And is what that, would that roughly...
Go F yourself.
Okay. So hundreds of riders were stuck on a number 3 train that struck the men. MTA crews sent another train that hitched to the stuck train. The passengers walked onto the rescue train and were brought to the station. And the station is one stop away from the Utica Avenue station, which draws taggers because the MTA sometimes moves idle subway trains there during the night, particularly during bad weather. So they're an easy target.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
For taggers. I didn't know that.
Mayor.
In Minnesota, police say the 420th street sign has been stolen so much that it is now being placed 20 feet in the air on a pole.
Does it really serve a purpose up at 20 feet?
Police shared a picture of the sign on Wednesday, or April 20th, 420. And they said, if you decide to partake in 420 activities today, just know that you will never be as high as our 420th street sign. Police said this is not a challenge, but a way to deter thieves. They said, please do not try and steal our sign. We have a trap at the bottom. It may include munchies as a distraction technique. The theft of signs with 420 on them is well documented and have inspired some unique responses by authorities in Idaho. A 420 mile marker sign was replaced with 419.9.
That's great. Yeah. I wonder if they had the same issue, because in Delco, off of 95, there's a 420 that basically goes from the Delaware River all the way up to 320. A route 420.
Oh, wow.
And I wonder if they have that same issue.
That's a good question. I bet you they probably do. This is tragic. Two men fell to their deaths over 2 days at separate canyons in Utah on what local authorities called the tragic weekend. On Saturday, 41-year-old Arlo Lott Jr. of Steamboat Springs died after falling 70 feet when his rappel anchor broke in Farnsworth Canyon. Search and rescue staff hiked into the area and rappelled down to Lott, who was taken out of the canyon by a helicopter. Officials said his condition quickly deteriorated. They administered life-saving measures, but he didn't make it by the time they got to the hospital. And on Friday, in Upper Black Box, 50-year-old Craig Barlow was watching his friends. Listen to this. He was watching his friends rappel when the ledge of a cliff that he was sitting on broke loose.
Oh, my God.
And he fell.
So,
and he died from that.
Bad luck.
A rescue helicopter was able to land on a shelf in a tight area farther up the canyon. Paramedics made their way down, and he was carried up the canyon to an area where they were able to climb up a 40-foot sandy embankment and make their way to the helicopter. He was transported to the hospital, and he died from his injuries. So,
he's run over by a train being engineered by a bear press.
That's terrible. And let's see. Oh, yeah, here's a follow-up story. On November 21st, Trevor Jacobs' single-engine airplane fell out of the sky, a harrowing experience that the YouTuber just so happened to catch on film and upload to social media. Mm-hmm. In January, aviation experts began investigating the incident, as they are wont to do in the event of most every aviation crash. And on Thursday, the FAA formally accused Jacob of staging the entire incident and intentionally crashing his 1940 Taylor craft for online clout. At the time, Jacob, a former Olympic snowboarder, claimed that his plane had malfunctioned, forcing him to bail out and parachute to safety when the aircraft crashed into the Los Padres National Forest in Southern California.
You remember we were watching the video of this.
Yep. However, in a letter dated April 11th, the FAA informed him that he had operated his plane in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life or property of another, a violation of aviation regulations. The FAA also revoked his pilot's license effective immediately. When reached by the New York Times this week, Jacob claimed to not be aware of the letter, but declined to comment on advice from his attorney. Although the FAA can't actually prosecute anybody for violating regulations, should Jacob fail to surrender his pilot's license, he can be held liable for further legal enforcement action and be fined up to about $1,600 a day until he does. So essentially, he's just not going to be able to fly anymore. He's not going to be able to pilot anymore. But, yeah, that's pretty damn reckless. Well, even though it's a remote area,
you don't know.
You so never what? Know.
Some guy go, I'm going to go on a walkabout today.
Right. A man was driving on a highway in England when he spotted a snake. It just so happened to be slithering on the side view mirror of his vehicle. His son took video of the snake, which...
Why didn't you slow down?
They correctly identified as a grass snake. The two determined that there was nowhere to stop safely to let the snake leave the vehicle without harm. In the vehicle, in the video, the snake can be seen dropping onto the road. It was posted to TikTok and has been viewed over 30,000 times.
You guys use the metric system.
All right, and then we'll do one more story and we'll wrap with this one. People are understandably a little bit freaked out by this. A mysterious pale man has been spotted cycling naked through a village in England.
What kind of pale is he using?
No, P-A-L-E.
Oh.
He's very, very...
white.
White, yes. Yeah. Locals say they spotted the man Easter Sunday morning, and he was caught on camera taking his ride again on Tuesday.
Come on.
Derbyshire police got a call from one member of the public about the naked cyclist on Tuesday.
He guys, that man is naked.
But an officer in the
very
area
pale.
Failed to track him down. If he is caught, he could be charged with indecent exposure. So for whatever reason, they got a naked biker.
I can see his bum and his tallywacker.
In the area. And there you go. That is your bizarre file for now. All right, so you have just a few minutes left to get your keyword into us. We're going to give you about three, four minutes. Safe is the word you have to enter, and do that now because you have $500 and a pair of tickets to the MMRPQ awaiting for you. Now, when you're done with that, should I give this away?
Yeah.
Do it. I've got the last copy of The Batman on digital to give away, and we'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. The Batman is caught in a deadly game of cat and mouse with the Riddler and this gritty thriller.
I'm so guilty for watching this.
I just went to the eye doctor yesterday. New glasses are coming soon.
Oh, nice.
Starring Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz. You can own it on 4K Ultra HD on May 24th or on digital now, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Lesson, question, trash, music, news. Those things are on the way when we return. Hang in there.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's see if you've been paying attention as we have today's lesson question. Actually, before we do the lesson question, one second.
Yes.
Kathy was checking out the press conference with Jay Wright. He's officially speaking out now that his retirement has been announced. And so Kathy popped in the other room because it's happening as we speak. What did you pick up from
that?
Yeah,
I listened to a portion of it. And, you know, he was just typical Jay Wright. And, you know, it sounded like he was speaking from the heart. He said, you know, when they asked why... he said he didn't have the edge anymore. He said it was something that normally came naturally to him, but that he was kind of having to, like, pump himself up. And so that natural, you know...
That drive.
Yeah. And he said he was asking his players to give 100%, and he said, I can't walk in there and give 70%. Mm. And so he said he just knew it was the right time. He kept referring to his wife, Patty, and he said that they, you know, just knew that this was the right time. He made the decision at the end of the regular season, and I think Nick was watching, too, and heard him say that it had leaked. So it wasn't supposed to come out now, but, it did. And he said, you know, some of the other people that he worked with, there was a little bit of time where they tried to convince him not to. And he just said, I knew that this was the right time. And he did apologize, Nick. I don't know if you saw this. But, okay, he apologized to everybody that had texted him that he didn't. He said, I didn't get back to anybody. He said, but I will. He said, I just wanted to, like, get through this, and then I'm going to text everybody back.
I told Kathy yesterday that I tried to reach out. I did reach out to him trying to get him on the show yesterday, and I figured that he wouldn't, but I'm sure he'll text back at some point. But he said that the report leaked that this was going to happen, but that the decision itself was inevitable, and it, you know, one way or the other, this was going to be his last season.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, because you know he hadn't come forward and said anything yet, and you never know if somebody might have been sick.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping wasn't
some kind of underlying thing that might not have been, you know, positive. And so I'm happy to hear it was time for him to wrap it up.
No, that's that is very true to his style, that he felt he wasn't able to give what he was asking his players to give, and so he walks away rather than what I'm sure he believes is undermining the team, which is not, because he's so good at what he does, but to him it's important.
Did he mention the Papa Shot at all during his press?
Well, it's still going on.
He didn't. No. But he
did enjoy Talk Like Bill Weston Day, he says.
He did say that it wasn't like completely out of the blue. Like he said, for the past maybe 3 years, he had been, you know, it's always on your mind, you're thinking about it, but that when this year came, he just knew that this was the last year.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we'll get to talk to him in the near future and get a little bit more of that from him. In the meantime, we're going to do today's lesson question. Now we will do that. We're going to give away, a pair of tickets to see Steve Trevino, who was here this morning, and you'll go to the show tonight at 9:45. And the question that I have for you is Cynthia Albritton, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. She's the plaster caster. Stopped casting penises after working with which artist? 215-263-WMMR. And let's see if you were listening and heard that. It was a quick little throwaway line.
Yes, it was.
And we'll see if you know it. Cynthia Albritton, the plaster caster, stopped casting penises after working with which artist? 215-263-WMMR. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see where we're going today. What's up this morning, Steve?
Well, Michael Feinstein, a longtime friend of the legendary Liza Minnelli, is claiming she was sabotaged at the 2022 Oscars telecast. Feinstein, who was with her, says the show's executive producer convinced her that it would be funny if she pretended to be immobile and incoherent.
Hey!
Mike Tyson repeatedly punched another passenger on a flight from San Francisco to Florida after the man insisted on bothering him as he attempted to nap. Once the man left the flight, he reportedly spent the afternoon attempting to slap raw meat out of the mouths of alligators.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Johnny Depp was grilled on the stand yesterday as Amber Heard's lawyer produced text messages in which the actor discussed having sex with her body after he murdered her to make sure she was dead. Depp defended himself, saying he has never been good at pillow talk.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood Track.
All right, we are going to attempt to get a winner, somebody who knows the answer to this question. It was Cynthia Albritton, also known as Cynthia Plastercaster, stopped casting penises after working with which artist? And we will go to a caller. It will be Nick that we're going to try. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Hey.
All right, Nick, which artist did she stop casting penises of when she got?
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé. Yeah. You got it, buddy. Hang on, Nick. A pair of tickets to join and see comedian Steve Trevino tonight at 9:45 Punchline in Philly. Tickets are on sale now at punchlinephilly.com. And each of Steve's shows this weekend, you can get those there. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Music news is sponsored by Montage Mountain. Today and tomorrow, you can sample over 150 craft beers, ciders, and seltzers from 50 of the best breweries nationwide. MontageMountain.com/BrewFest. Let's begin with Kirk Hammett. He will serve as the moderator at the famed horror festival Midsummer Scream, July 30th at Southern California's Long Beach Convention Center.
Cool.
Hammett will head up the panel that features relatives of the horror genre's original stars. So the 90-minute original Monster Kids panel will feature Sarah Karloff, daughter of Boris Karloff, Ron Chaney, grandson and great-grandson of Lon Chaney Jr. and Sr., Lynn Lugosi Sparks, granddaughter of Bella Lugosi,
wow,
and Victoria Price, daughter of Vincent Price.
That's pretty amazing.
It is, right?
Yeah.
As they share personal family stories, photos, and perhaps a home movie or two, giving fans a very personal look into the private lives of the actors who brought some of the most famous characters to life.
Is Buffy Krueger going to be there?
I don't know if Buffy Krueger may or not. Blink-182's Mark Hoppus says he's feeling great and ready to make new music. In an interview published this week, he said that he plans to get back into the studio and back to playing music. He did not mention a date, but he hopes to release new music very soon.
He said, life's great. I'm glad to be here. And he didn't specify if he would be recording with the band or doing something solo. Hoppus is 7 months cancer-free. When he first went public with his diagnosis, he shared that he was undergoing treatment for 4A diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So things are still looking good for him. Korn shares music, shared a music video for the song Worst Is On Its Way. Well, the video was directed by Craig Bernard and Cully Bunker, and the single... Cully Bunker. It's just a name.
Oh. Cully Bunker.
Cully Bunker.
Okay.
The single... That's really the name. Do you think I
thought it, maybe thought you fudged it up.
Okay. Nothing but a Cully Bunker.
Yeah.
Edith Bunker's
sister. Get a couple of Cully Bunkers over here.
Right away, Archie!
The single is from the group's latest album, Requiem, which was released back in February. Jonathan Davis said, right now, everything's going good, but always in the back of my head, I'm just waiting for that next bad thing to happen. I thought it was an amazing way to end the record because it's all about me battling the darkness and coming out on top. But life is never is a never-ending loop, and there's always more bull-ass ahead.
It's beautiful.
I mentioned this in the lesson question. Cynthia Albritton, a.k.a. Cynthia Plastercaster, the legendary artist and, quote, recovering groupie, renowned for plaster casts she took of many top musicians' penises and other body parts, has passed away after a long illness. She was 74 years old. Her collection included a lot of names, including super big like Jimi Hendrix,
yeah,
who was on board for that whole thing. And she did a more recent musicians as well, like Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and many others. So there were women that were involved, too, that had their breasts casted.
Did she ever make a site, the biggest, that she had secured from a rock musician?
I got a guess. Yeah.
I feel like...
Hendrix.
I feel like I've heard that before.
So have I. Yeah, okay. I thought I did, and I wondered if I was just misremembering.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Emphasis on member.
So she and Frank Zappa had worked together for a while, although he never was a part of her art. He did not participate, but he founded the concept both humorous and creative, and so he kind of helped support her.
Well, you know, Nick Murphy takes a Polaroid of guests when we have them come in here. Should we do plaster casts of their genitals?
Well, you know that there was a song, and I played this earlier this morning, that Kiss wrote called Plaster Caster.
Right.
And it was about her. I'll play it.
Simmons of the rock group Kiss. What would you expect to pay for this amazing record package, including Plastercaster?
So, Gene was a fan.
Each purchase of the VIP ticket comes with chickens.
Whoa. Really? How many?
Six.
Six chickens?
Six chickens.
Wow. That's sick.
Sick.
Great deal from Gene Simmons.
So she had written a book, so I'm sure that there's information in there about maybe who was the biggest. There was a documentary called Plaster Caster and a BBC documentary that she participated in called My Penis and I.
Was it Pamela DeBar who wrote, she was the ultimate groupie and had slept with a whole collection of rock stars? Do you remember that book? It was around the same time that this was a big thing.
Yeah. I do remember. I don't remember the name of it.
I'm with the band?
I'm with the band. That was it.
Yep.
All right. And, you know, this ties directly in with the things we've been talking about, corn and plaster penises and stuff like that. This Sunday, April 24th, is New Kids on the Block Day.
Yeah. I wonder if they did their junk.
It's a real holiday that was declared on April 24th, 1989, and celebrate Donnie, Danny, Jonathan, Jordan, and Joey are selling tickets to this summer's Mixtape Festival for $19.89 just for one day this Sunday.
You know, we announced the return of the Kildares, and not Kildares, of the Keenans, and us doing that show. They're connected to one of our favorite memories. Yeah.
Yep, that is correct. We had Jonathan... who do we have there? We had Knight, Jordan.
Jordan Knight, yeah.
Jordan Knight and, I think it was Jonathan was the other. Or no, Danny. It was Danny that was there. And they loved it.
Had a great time.
Yep.
So, Press, you're just a couple of years older than me. So when NKOTB hit the radio airwaves, what were your thoughts? Because I was so young and all the girls that I liked them. So I liked them as a result. So I don't recall ever having...
a negative review of New Kids on the Block.
Oh, they were extremely cheesy to me.
Yeah.
Especially Donnie, or no.
Yeah, Donnie. Donnie,
who was pretending to be the bad boy and all that
bad
stuff.
Bad boy.
I thought it was ridiculous. But I will tell you this, a couple of their songs, musically, I didn't hate them. Yeah. I thought they were fun. I thought they had. I thought they were good melodically and vocally.
It's manufactured, right? And it's manufactured by some of the best producers and writers out there. So, you know, but I just think generally, like, you know, when I got a little bit older, when the 98 Degrees and stuff like that, I, you know, I think I New Kids on the Block. Nose.
Well, they were a little, at least it appeared that they were doing their own singing, right?
Yeah, they were doing all
actually,
their own singing.
Jordan Knight was a really good singer.
Yeah.
So, by the way, we have tickets to this to give away. Yes, I do. I got a pair of tickets to see New Kids on the Block June 29th at the Wells Fargo Center. And we'll take caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. And we will set you up in one of the most fun moments of the... We did New Kids on the Block karaoke at Keenan's. And this guy got up and he did... I think he did... did he do... what was their biggest
Hangin' Tough?
Hangin' Tough. I think he did Hangin' Tough. Did like the whole song. And then at the very end of it, he dedicated it to the late, great Ronnie James Dio, who had just died.
He had,
And we were dying laughing. And he won, I believe.
He did.
Because he did it spot on. He was so excellent.
We're watching the video of him do his performance.
Yep, it was great. It was a very special moment. All right, and then, speaking of Keenan's, I'll mention a couple of announcements real quick. The fact that we are headed back on Friday, May 27th. We are broadcasting live. It is brought to you by Coors. Coors Light is the official opening of the Jersey Shore. What? Why did you gasp?
It's Jose's birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, I just forgot. And
okay.
Remember, when you said May 27th, I just...
Oh, May 27th.
So, okay. Go to WMMR.com and get the details. All right. And then the other thing is we have the President Steve's side stage. And we have the live band karaoke taking place with the band Sidearm. And you could be the lead singer for this band on stage at the MMRBQ. We're going to choose 10 singers to perform on stage at the show. Each singer will get a 4-pack of tickets. Now, all you have to do is go to WMMR.com, click on the link. We have a list of songs that Sidearm, they probably know hundreds of songs. And we put 50 songs up that you can choose from to do your own audition video. Just you singing the song. It doesn't have to be the whole song. A good portion of it.
Just a taste.
Get an idea that you can sing. And then you hit hashtag MMRBQ on the link, on the post. And we will find it. And we're going to judge them. And we'll pick 10. And you'll be able to go to the show. You'll perform on the side stage. You get 4 tickets. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, it's the makings of something really cool, especially since you will be up on stage with a band behind you and getting that sort of rock star feel.
Yep. All right, so do that now. That's it in music news. We are going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we will wrap up the show, so stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Feeling good. Friday has arrived, along with great weather. It's going to be a beautiful day today, touching around 70, 72 degrees, somewhere in that range. And sunshine is what's being called for. 67 and cloudy tomorrow. And then Sunday, 81 degrees and partly cloudy. And then the beginning of next week's looking like 70 degrees. Something like that. So, very, very good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, we've had a chock-full show of good stuff. And it started with an announcement that we are headed back to Keenan's in North Wildwood for the Keenan's live broadcast of the official opening of the Jersey Shore. It's brought to you by Coors Light. And that will be May 27th. We'll be broadcasting live. We got all kinds of information available at WMMR.com. So go ahead and get that. So thank you to Scott Keenan, who is here this morning. He's excited. We're excited. It's a beautiful thing. I also want to thank comedian Steve Trevino, who was here.
Yeah, really good
First time meeting Steve. He was very funny, very nice.
Terrific.
And he's at Punchline, so get tickets for a show. And then we had Cindy Williams from Laverne and Shirley.
She was so cool.
The best. Oh. She had the greatest story about
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison. Yeah. Thank you. From the Doors, when she was just a cocktail server, her first day at the Whiskey A Go Go, and her customer was Jim Morrison, and he was playing a prank on her.
It was hilarious.
It was excellent. She has her one-woman show at the Bucks County Playhouse this weekend, and man, does she have stories. It's called Me, Myself, and Shirley, a one-woman show, and there is a 2 o'clock show tomorrow and an 8 o'clock show. And then on Sunday, there is a 2 o'clock matinee as well. It's a Bucks County Playhouse in New Hope, and you can go to me, myself, and Shirley.com, or you can go to BucksCountyPlayhouse.org.
As she was leaving, and we were prepping to get Gary Sinise on, she's leaving, and we're all kind of trying to say goodbye in a nice, you know, way, and so I had one of those awkward, are we shaking hands or hugging?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I basically ended up doing like a half Nelson on her.
Yeah. And then thank you, yes, to Gary Sinise.
Hey!
Gary's awesome. We talked about his movies, but of course also the Gary Sinise Foundation does such wonderful charitable donations for military and first responders. And there's a fire company in New Jersey that received a nice grant from those guys from equipment, from equipment that they needed. So Gary's just easy to talk to and
yeah.
willing to tell us all kinds of great behind-the-scenes stuff from his movie career, but just a super, super nice guy. So today was a great day as far as the guests go. Pierre is here. How you doing, man?
Loved hearing Shirley talk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so cool. She really has got the stories.
Cindy. She does.
Yeah. Cindy, I mean.
But that's what I call her. I introduced her. I said, please welcome Cindy Williams, blah, blah, blah. And we just brought her. I go, so listen, tell me something, Shirley. And Steve goes, Cindy. I'm like, oh, of course.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I get both of those conversations, Gary Sinise. I mean, you guys connected really nicely.
Well, you know, you're a big Lucille Ball fan. You know,
yes.
That she cited Laverne and Shirley as one of the few shows that she thought was, you know, up to the level of like the physical comedy that she was famous for. And so she was, in fact, I think when they did a best of Laverne and Shirley, I think it might have been Lucille Ball herself who
I think
posted
you're
that.
Right.
Three Amigos. Not Three Amigos. Yeah. Three's Company. She did that.
Oh, that's right.
Lucille Ball hosted
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
and I don't remember the Laverne and Shirley one.
But Wow. But that was cool. She was sweet. She had so many great stories.
Amazing stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Letter, shall we?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
T is in Tom tomorrow.
All right. And we are going to take caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. We got a prize that's awaiting for you. Hopefully you have kept track of those letters, and hopefully we have a legitimate word. We'll see about that. Call now.
We had one little confusion a couple of weeks ago.
It was great.
I had one that I had to morph into. Remember that case? MSNBC.
MSNBC. Yep.
It happens.
It does happen. Yeah. It does happen. So I've got a little clip to play for you.
Okay.
Tonight... And normally I would never plug another station. However, we did and Pancake and I were pretty proud of the work we did on Wednesday when we did a tribute to Sid Mark. We did an hour of Sinatra and Sid and interview pieces. And tonight his home station, WPHT, 1210 AM, will be the general manager of the station called Judy Mark, Sid's widow now. And said, is there anything we could do? And she said, yes, do a Friday with Frank. Friday, it used to be Friday with Frank, Saturdays and Sundays with Sinatra. And then eventually let's just do Sunday with Sinatra, their station did. And so Fridays with Frank has not been on for a long time. And to honor Sid, his son Brian will be doing the show tonight from 6 to 8. With clips of his dad and a lot of Sinatra music on 1210. And I thought it deserved a plug. And this is a clip, and I thought, Nick, you would get a kick out of this, particularly because we know what it's like to get a shout-out from somebody incredible, one of the current idols of our time, when Eddie Vedder said hello to us. Imagine one of the most famous people in all of show business ever eclipsing anyone I can think of. And imagine you're at the Spectrum and in the, between songs, effing Frank Sinatra shouts you out and proposes a toast to you. And this is a little clip of that. This is how heavy Sid was and how heavy Frank was.
I should like to take a moment to introduce to you a friend who's been a friend for as long as I've been in this business. And it's been a long time. This guy is some kind of a man. You all know him so well because he lives among you here. And I should like to have him stand and take a bow. And I speak of the wonderful Sid Mark and his family are here this evening. There he is right there. I drink to you, Sidney. It's wonderful to have a friend like Sidney, and I've had, oh, maybe four or five in my career, people who have stayed with me when things were dark and didn't change at all whenever anything else changed. And that's the kind of man he is. And I love him, and I say that publicly. I love him. He's one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. I had a lot of friends, but about 3 days later, they were all gone. I ran out of money. But Sidney is a great man, and he's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Very cool.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I mean, I drink to you, Sidney. You know, and he and he had a glass of Jack in his hand and proposed a toast to Sid. And Sid stands up in the Vegas style of, you know, Sid is in the audience tonight, take a bow. And pretty damn cool. So I wanted to give a shout out to that because there's not going to be, Sid did not want a funeral or any kind of a service. So in a way, what we did on Wednesday was our service, if you will, to Sid, and what WPHT will do tonight, bringing back a one-time Friday with Frank from 6 to 8, we'll be doing that. And I thought it deserved a good plug.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks, Pierre. We'll go to the phones, try and get ourselves a winner, and it is Jeff that we have. Hi, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
All right, Jeff, do me a favor. Give us the secret text word, or no, not the secret text word, the word of the week, please.
All right, word of the week, I believe, would be toast.
Let's have a ring-ding day!
Yeah!
Love ring-dings!
That is correct, Jeff. And for
Sinatra talk.
For your trouble, we are going to give you a Samsung 55-inch Class 7 Series LED 4K UHD Smart Dyson TV for tickets to the Penn Museum to check out one of the largest Egyptian collections in the U.S. and a hieroglyphs mug from the museum shop, and it's all in conjunction with Marvel Studios' Moon Knight. All right, my man?
All right. Sounds great.
Congratulations. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information. We'll take care of all that. And don't forget, Moon Knight, six-episode event, now streaming only on Disney Plus. Anything else you want to mention about today's program?
By the way, the ring ding. Shirley MacLaine came over to Sinatra's place in Malibu, and he said, let's go out on the road. And she had not done singing and dancing in some time. She said, I don't know, Frank. He goes, no, come on out. We'll have a ring-ding time.
Ring-a-ding-a-doo.
Yeah. And it, on his private plane, he'd say to the pilot, where are we flying over? Cleveland, I know a good Italian restaurant. Land. And he would say stuff like that, and they would land the damn plane and go for some private dinner in Cleveland.
It's a hell of a life.
It's a hell of a life. He, you know, well, Steve gave me this wickedly cool DVD of Sinatra in Palm Springs and people telling tales of hanging at the compound, which, by the way, included Bono.
Yeah.
Bono, Frank drank Bono under the table. Bono did not make it to sunrise. Frank did. Yep. He said, you're a loser.
He passed out and spilled the drink on himself and thought he pissed his pants.
Exactly. Yeah. You're a wuss.
Yep.
Anyway, on the program today, we will have the Brewfest tickets. I finally gave two of them away yesterday.
Yay!
And I'll have two more to give away today. We'll have concert cash possibilities at noon and 2. And it's Earth Day, so we want to celebrate that with a thematic block of songs celebrating Mother Earth. We'll get to Peter Frampton's birthday today, and that we will do on vinyl. And since we've got a big vinyl weekend and Record Store Day is tomorrow, We're going to play as many records after our Earth Day block as are possible between our two studios. We only have two turntables left in this complex, one in Studio R, and they put one in our main studio, 4F. And so we shall bounce back and forth and try to play a bunch of records. Depending on what we've got, it'll be just about as tight as our transition to the Pierre Robert studio the other day. But we'll see what we can come up with.
Excellent. All right, let me take a moment to thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme Markets. You can get your free flu shot or COVID-19 booster at their pharmacy. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by Trinity Rehab. They can help you get rid of your pain. No prescription needed. Trinity-Rehab.com. Next week, a couple things to mention. We are going to have lead singer of Def Leppard, Joe Elliott, on the show.
Cool.
We'll also talk to our buddy Mitch Fatel, and wrestler Big Show will be joining us, too. So it should be pretty awesome, and we'll fill in some more stuff between now and then, I'm sure. That's it. We're done. Rage on. No sad, bro. Have a great weekend, and we will see you later. Bye-bye.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Bing, dang. Doo-doo-bee-doo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.